now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palos Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Did you know that the City of Redding has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Redding area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Redding.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Because we start to open up again, how many people are just going to say, okay, well, you know what? Sure, I'm young and healthy. Sure, my chances of dying from this are extraordinarily small. But you know what? I'm getting paid more to be on unemployment. This is something Republicans pointed out at the time, and they were completely right, and the media mocked them for it. According to 538.com, the estimated percentage of earnings replaced by unemployment benefits for the median unemployed worker in 10 common occupational fields is above 100% for pretty much, this is the median payment, is above 100% that you will make from unemployment for the following services: food service, janitorial, medical assistance, sales and retail, transportation, construction, and teachers. The only people who are earning less from unemployment than they would from their normal jobs are people who are nurses and therapists, managers, and people in information technology. So in other words, if you are not on sort of the low income scale, then you will make more by going back to work. But if you are on the low income scale, then we're going to pay you not to work according to these bills. Now, in the short term, that at least makes some sense, in the sense that if you can't go back to work, then paying you not to work makes some sense. We don't want people rushing back to work willy-nilly. But as states start to open up, we have started to see, I've talked to people who are employers who are saying, I offered my workers to stay at their jobs and they don't want to come back because they're getting paid more by the government not to come back. Now, at the same time, this has become a class issue because the people who are most likely to tell you that they want the government to remain the payer for all of this, the people most likely to tell you that they would like these lockdowns to remain in place forever are people in the mainstream media who are not losing their jobs. Fareed Zakaria actually has pointed this out over at the Washington Post. Fareed has a very good piece over there. I'll talk to you about it in just one second. First, let's talk about the reality of your business. This is a very interesting and rough time for a lot of businesses, and you simply cannot afford to leave your business unattended to. That means that you need to be on top of your data in absolutely granular fashion. What is the best way to do this? Well, first, get rid of that hairball of multiple software systems. You need one integrated system, and you can do all that with NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. Finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need, all in one place. So you save time, money, headaches. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will give you visibility and control so you can manage every penny with precision. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to go faster with confidence. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders, assembled a playbook of the top strategies they are using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now. Schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Ben. Get your free guide, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Ben. Again, that is netsuite.com/Ben, NetSuite.com/Ben, netsuite.com/Ben. Okay, so Fareed Zakaria has a good piece on the class differences between the people who are calling for lockdown and the people who are saying that we need to get back to work. And I will say that there is one other distinction. There are a lot of people who are business owners who are saying we need to get back to work even if they're high-income earners. So a lot of high-income earners who are just sitting at home and the pandemic is basically, as comedian Patton Oswalt suggested, wow, it's so tough you're watching Netflix all day. Turns out there are a lot of people who are not watching Netflix all day. It turns out there are a lot of people who are struggling to put food on the table. It turns out there are tons of people who own businesses who are struggling to figure out how to pay their employees and how to keep their businesses afloat and how to keep their life savings from being drained away. Fareed Zakaria has a good piece on this over at the Washington Post. He says, many people are wondering why partisanship has become so strong in the United States that people will not listen to experts even at the risk of their own health. But there's a broader distrust we need to understand. He said, I recognized it while reading a book that is not about COVID-19 at all, but sheds strong light on the situation. Explaining why so many people across the West have rejected the government establishment, Michael Lind writes, the issue is not the issue. The issue is power. Social power exists in three realms, government, the economy, and the culture. Each of these three realms of social power is the site of class conflict. Now, he attributes this to economic conflict. It's really more cultural. Lind's new book, The New Class War, argues that the best way to understand America today is through the lens of class conflict, which has been sharpened by the rise of an overclass that dominates the three spheres he mentions. In all three, leaders tend to be urban, college-educated professionals, often with a postgraduate degree. That makes them quite distinct from the rest of the country. Only 36% of Americans have a bachelor's degree. Only 13% have a master's or more. And yet the top echelons everywhere are filled with this credentialed overclass. So when he says it's class distinction, he doesn't actually mean an economic class distinction. He means that it is a class distinction as far as people who have gone to university, people who are generally secular, people who have a particular worldview about the role of government and who happen to be in charge of a lot of major industries, a lot of cultural totems. And this is something that's not new to Michael Lind. And Charles Murray was talking about this in his book Coming Apart 15 years ago. But says Fareed Zakaria, for many non-college educated people, especially those living in rural areas, there's a deep alienation from this new elite. They see the overclasses enacting policies presented as good for the whole country, but really mostly benefit people from the ruling class whose lives have gotten better over the past few decades, while the rest are left behind. In this view, trade and immigration help college-educated professionals who work for multinational corporations but hurt blue-collar workers. So when they hear from experts about the inevitability of globalization and technological change and the need to accept it, they resist because it does not resonate with their lived experience. He says, let's look at the COVID-19 crisis through this prism. Imagine you're an American who works with his hands and you just lost your job because of the lockdowns as of more than 36 million people. You turn on the TV and you hear medical experts, academics, technocrats, and journalists explain, we have to keep the economy closed because public health is important. In other words, keep you unemployed. All these people making the case have jobs, have maintained their standards of living, in fact, are now in greater demand. They feel as though they are doing important work. You, on the other hand, have lost your job. You feel a sense of worthlessness. You're terrified about your family's day-to-day survival. Is it so hard to understand why people like this might be skeptical of the experts? This is correct. Fareed Zakaria really hits the nail on the head right here. And you can see that the media do not get it. The media, the people in the media do not understand this. And they have no reason to understand this because people in the media, again, get to do what I do. Right? Thank God. I have a good life. I can do my show from the safety of my home. I still get my paycheck. I understand that there are tens of millions of Americans who do not. And that is why I think it is imperative that they be allowed to make their own choices. They can make their own individual risk assessments than some jackass on CNN, or better than I can. Now, I'm not saying that I should make the risk assessment for you. I'm saying you should make the risk assessment for you. And it is the job of the so-called experts to provide you information so you can make your own independent risk assessment. And this is why it is so utterly unhelpful when the media refuse to report to you actual information, instead just giving you anecdotes. So, for example, there's a piece in the New York Times yesterday by Mara Gay, who's the head of the 1619 Project and very well-respected columnist at the New York Times by the left. Hey, Mara Gay got COVID-19, and she got very, very sick from it. And so she has an entire piece about how sick she got from it. And the entire premise of the piece is young people are getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Nowhere in the entire piece does she cite a statistic saying how many young people are getting sick from COVID-19. Now, it's important to know for people what COVID-19 is like. That is important. And I'm extremely happy that Mara Gay is feeling better. God forbid anybody should get sick and die with COVID-19. But it is very important that if you are running the world's most quote-unquote respected newspaper, that you actually at some point in an article like that, give me the number so I can assess my own risk. I understand that if somebody gets hit side-on in a car crash, that that's going to be really bad and that the recovery time is going to be really bad. I need to know when I go out the door in the morning, what are my odds of being hit sidelong in a car crash? Because I'm making my own risk assessment. All media information should be geared toward giving Americans enough information that they can make their own risk assessment, and most media information is not geared toward that. Most media information is geared toward a certain level of alarmism and a level of distrust with the American public. And ironically, what ends up happening is that people respond to the media by then saying, okay, the entire thing is BS. Now, I'm hearing from some conservatives this about, for example, face mask wearing. People suggesting on the conservative side, there are a few people on the conservative side, I would say, who say, you know what, I don't want to wear a face mask because the experts have been wrong all the time and they just want to control my liberty. And I've said, no, face mask wearing is probably a good idea. It prevents other people from getting it. It's not to protect you. It's to protect everybody who is around you. And if the goal is to slow the spread enough that we don't spike over to the healthcare system's capacity, and if the goal is to go back to work in fast moving action, then wearing face masks is a great way of preventing all this, right? In many countries, it is mandatory. And it is not you signing away your liberty to say that you're going to wear a face mask. It is you saying that you care about your neighbors, that you're going to wear the face mask until some better therapeutic is found or until we tranche populations such that herd immunity is pursuable. But you have to understand that for a lot of people, they look at the experts who are telling them that the best option is for them to stay inside forever. And those same experts are yelling at people not wearing face masks. And so you get exactly the sort of political polarization we've seen in the country, which is people responding to each other, not responding to information. And when the media make themselves a character in the story, when the media's entire narrative is, we stand up for lockdowns because we care about your life, and then they provide you no information, then people are going to say, well, I care about my life more than you care about my life. And I care about my freedom more than you care about my freedom. So I'm just going to discount whatever you say. And so there is that natural reaction, because the media do have this disconnect with the American people at this point. They are not trying to bring Americans the information. They instead are trying to push an agenda. You can see that most clearly when it comes to the state-by-state lockdown attitudes of the media. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that right now you are online more than ever in history. And a lot of us are working from home, but that means our IT department is in control of our internet activity. You still need to protect yourself, and this is where ExpressVPN comes in. I've been talking about ExpressVPN for a long time, so you know what I'm going to say. It protects your internet activity by anonymizing your internet activity. You might be thinking security threats don't affect you personally, but that would be a mistake because all it takes is one person breaching your data, and now you have a problem. Instead, go check out ExpressVPN. Number one, it's really fast. You install it on your computer. It's ready to go. It's not going to slow down your internet. And again, it's really, really easy to use. Here's the big question. Why have you not gotten ExpressVPN yet? Visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. 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 Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben for that extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet data today. Coming up, members of the media seem absolutely perturbed and confused why so many Americans are angry at the media. I think I have an answer. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/business or text the code business to 511-511. Text business to 511-511 today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So members of the media are absolutely confused as to why many Americans do not trust them and actually kind of despise them and have scorn for them. The media simply don't get this. They simply don't understand why people are angry at them. So yesterday there was a clip going around by a guy named Kevin Vesey, and it has, you know, 6 million hits on Twitter. And this video basically shows this person walking around a rally where people are rallying for opening, and people are yelling at the media. They're saying, you guys don't understand what we're going through. You guys are attempting to portray us as kooks and nuts for wanting to reopen and going back to our work. You're suggesting that we want to get people killed. You can go screw off. Take a long walk off a short pier. Here's what that video sounds like.
You stopped airing the Trump briefings and you keep airing Cuomo briefings. Go home, fake news. Go home.
You're destroying something in Long Island.
You are the enemy of the people.
You are fake news. We know about your liberal agenda. We know you want to keep your job. We get it. You're not getting advertising dollars in right now.
You're not going to answer. So you're just going to go live.
Yes, I am getting a paycheck.
I'm very happy. But other people are not getting paychecks. And
that's
they're not
why we're here.
You used to be a good channel at one time.
You allow people.
I don't know what happened to you.
Tell the truth, Kevin. Come on.
Most of these people, by the way, are wearing face masks. Most of them are socially distancing. They're holding signs saying things like coronavirus is not going away, but our jobs are. That is a fair argument right there. And by the way, Rick Bright, who is the doctor who was supposedly fired from the Trump administration yesterday, he literally said about vaccines, you guys are being too optimistic about vaccines. You're saying 12 to 18 months. It could be 2 years. It could be 3 years. Right? That's the guy the media were trotting out yesterday. Don't they understand that undermines their argument for locking down forever? Because that is completely impossible and implausible. The media do not understand why people are so angry at them. Again, it's because you stopped providing us information and you started providing us your opinion on the information. And that's okay, right? I'm an opinion show. I try to provide you the information first, but I am very clear about my opinion. I try to state what my agenda is up front. And then you can make your own decision. But what you are seeing from the media is not that. You're seeing their quote-unquote objective journalists who are very angry that people can see their bias and are recognizing that the media are not actually providing us information. So last night, for example, Anderson Cooper on CNN, he was very angry at Donald Trump Jr. Why? Because people were making fun of CNN for hosting Greta Thunberg on a CNN town hall about coronavirus. Because people are like, what the hell does Greta Thunberg know about coronavirus? And why is Greta Thunberg on? Like, what level of expertise can she provide? And so apparently she was there to talk about the fact that she'd donated $100,000 from her fund for coronavirus funding or something. Okay, well, then why don't you have on, first of all, I know personally many people who have given more money than that to the coronavirus fight and are spending more of their own money out of their own pocket in order to try and do something about this. And those people happen to know more than a 17-year-old girl most famous for shouting at adults. But Anderson Cooper was very upset with you, very upset with Don Jr., very upset with anybody who would question CNN's bona fides in bringing on a 17-year-old girl most famous for shouting at adults in a Swedish accent.
A blue check on Twitter saw the initial ad and was outraged and claimed that we had booked Greta Thunberg to be an expert on a coronavirus panel with other health experts. Then, of course, Donnie Trump Jr. jumped into this, which is weird because I thought he was allegedly running whatever remains of the Trump Organization. I mean, shouldn't that be like a really busy job since it's, allegedly such a great big company? Anyway, once DJTJ started typing, then other people with blue checks on Twitter also started doing their thing because everyone has to produce content these days. That's what it's all about. It's like a tween on TikTok.
A tween on TikTok, that would pretty much describe a lot of CNN coverage. A tweet on TikTok would describe Chris Cuomo walking out of his basement on camera as though that's providing us any useful information other than the reality TV drama of the whole thing. Okay, so again, that's why people are angry at the media, and it's also why there's new information that Americans are increasingly just not paying attention to a lot of the information that the so-called experts are providing. And when I say so-called experts, I don't mean Fauci. I mean people like Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon and the rest. Okay, the fact is, by the way, that there is a new poll out showing that social distancing is dropping dramatically. And as I've said, this is going to be led from the bottom up. People are just going to say, I'm not doing this anymore. 58% right now of Americans say they are completely or mostly self-isolating. That is down from 75%. The decline is in states both with and without stay-at-home orders. So it is not just Florida. It is not just Georgia. The media are trying to blame certain states, but not other states. And it is amazing to watch this because they don't actually seem to be looking at the results of states that are reopening. They don't seem to be looking at differential results. Instead, they have the agenda, and the agenda is driving the media coverage. So here is a couple perfect examples. Politico finally is paying attention to the fact that Ron DeSantis did not blow it in Florida. So Politico has an entire article titled Florida Man Beats COVID for Now, right? The implication being that maybe Ron DeSantis still did the wrong thing. Let's be real about this. The entire narrative here, which is that President Trump blew it and Democrats are doing it right, and those who push lockdown are winning, and those who push opening up are losing and want to sacrifice people like Georgia's human sacrifice experiment. That was all a bunch of crap, and I'm not going to trust anybody who tells me that sort of stuff. Instead, I'm going to assess my own risk based on the information that is provided to me, and I think most Americans feel the same way. Coming up, There's a basic reality happening right now in the United States. Every state is figuring out how to go back to work. And even the blue states that are being rewarded in the media for their lockdown policies are talking about how to reopen. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months. When he got injured, I wasn't prepared, but I knew I had to be strong.
When I was told about John's injury, I was in complete shock. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For thousands of severely injured veterans, everyday life is filled with barriers.
It was really the little things throughout the house.
Counters that you can't roll up to.
I had to drag my wheelchair down steps.
I want to help, but he is so determined.
At Homes for Our Troops, we build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and automatic door openers that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
This house has given me my family back.
To learn more, visit hfotusa.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So reality is beginning to set in, and state after state after state is taking measures to reopen. While there are states and places like L.A. that are insisting that nobody reopen, I've been out here on the roads. People are going to work. Okay, there is traffic on the roads. And this happens to be true across the United States. And the more the authorities shout at people and the more they promote stupid policy, the more that policy will get ignored. If you actually want people to pay attention to your policy, you have to explain to them why you're doing what you are doing and why it makes any sense. This is true with children. When you're teaching children, you actually have to explain to them the rationale for the rules, saying, because I said so only works for kids who are about three. Once they hit about five or six, they actually want to know why you are doing what you are doing. When you get to be full-grown adults, you don't just pay attention to rules because you are told to do so unless you are a sop. Unless you are a sap or a sop. I mean, really, there is no reason for you to pay attention to rules unless those rules are designed to do a thing. Or as I said yesterday, unless you're being bribed to follow the rules or you're being threatened to follow the rules. And both of those last two rationales are just not sufficient. Because over time, unless that bribe is pretty steep, you're not going to want to follow it. And unless that punishment is rigidly enforced, you're just going to ignore it. Most people are not going to put on masks at the beach 10 feet away from each other and never sit on the sand because our stupid governor, Gavin Newsom, said so here in California. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, for example, they're saying now that masks are mandatory when you go outside for anyone above the age of two. I have a four-year-old son. Guess what he's not going to be doing? Wearing a mask. And knowing that, I'm not going to put him near an old person because I am a responsible human being. Knowing that, I'm not going to put him near anybody who's outside of my family, right? We're going to continue social distancing. But the stricter you set the rules, the fewer people are going to obey the rules, and the more the rules get broken. And then the institution that promulgated the rules loses its legitimacy. An easy way for an institution to lose its legitimacy is to have people basically ignore it. This is true whether you're the media or whether you are the government. But the media have this narrative, and they continue to push the narrative, despite the fact that, again, places all over America are opening up, Democrat and Republican. They're doing so step by step, and they're all following the Florida model. Right, they're doing so in gradual fashion. They're doing so with levels of social distancing and a fairly heavy level of mask wearing. But the way the media portray this is that Republicans want to willy-nilly let everybody out of the box so that they can just go have kissing parties and kill each other. And it's not true. The media are pushing this, and this is why people are ignoring them. So Tony Evers, who is the governor of Wisconsin, right, Democratic governor of Wisconsin, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin said that the government of Wisconsin does not have authority for the kind of lockdowns that they have been doing. Certainly not without legislative approval. So after the Supreme Court decision, a lot of mayors came in with their own local rules, and those rules are basically being obeyed. But if you listen to Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin, the mere suggestion that he does not get to willy-nilly lock down anything he wants in any fashion he wants means that Wisconsin has turned into the Wild West. It has not turned into the Wild West. Remember there was all that talk about how the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision that suggested that people had to vote in person, that you couldn't just decide on the spur of the moment that all voting was going to be mail-in, that was going to kill massive numbers of Americans. The grand total number of Americans who went out and voted that day who got COVID-19, out of the tens and maybe, I think it was over 100,000 people who voted in Wisconsin that day, the grand total number of people who got a COVID-19 infection, and it's not even obvious that it came from the voting booths, 52. We were told it was going to kill tens of thousands of people, right? That if you go out to the voting booth and you socially distance, everybody's going to die. It turns out, nope. Here's Governor Tony Evers, though, pushing the narrative, accompanied by Chris Cuomo, who couldn't even follow his own rules when it came to socially distancing, but he expects all the rest of you to.
The Republicans convinced four Supreme Court justices that A, the facts don't matter, B, the law doesn't matter, and C, the precedents don't matter. It was a horrible decision, not unexpected, because clearly there were four justices that were looking for any way they could to concur with the Republican majority in the legislature. So it happened, and now we have the Wild West.
Now we have the Wild West. It's not the Wild West. What the hell are you talking about? There's an article in the New York Times about various states reopening today. And it talks about the reopening deepening political divides. They say in Wisconsin, residents woke up to a state of confusion on Thursday after the conservative majority on the state Supreme Court sided with a Republican majority in the legislature on Wednesday night, overturning a statewide stay-at-home order by Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat. In Michigan, hundreds of protesters, many of them armed, turned out at the state capitol in a drenching rainstorm. In Pennsylvania, some Republican lawmakers urged defiance of the Democratic governor's orders to keep non-essential businesses closed, and President Trump flew to Allentown for a politically charged visit to a medical supply facility. The response to the coronavirus in these three states, which determines the 2016 presidential election and could strongly influence the one in November, is becoming a confused and agitated blend of health guidance, protest, and partisan politics, leaving residents to fend for themselves. Okay, I have a question. When we say leaving residents to fend for themselves, isn't that generally what you call freedom? Okay, I don't mean that people shouldn't be taken care of if they are forced not to work by the government, that the government didn't drive a Ford F-150 through the front wall of your house and now the government has to pay. But you know what we used to call being left alone? Freedom. Okay, that's not, again, not to suggest that people should go out willy-nilly and start kissing each other in the streets. That is to suggest that you are best capable of determining your own risk level. You do it every damn day. And because the baseline risk level has risen, and because depending on your population tranche, it may have risen more for you, you get to decide what is the most risky. You get to decide whether you believe that the members of your community are being responsible and whether you are going to go out today. Right? This is just something, it's your decision, basically. Across Wisconsin, the court ruling left some residents in a festive mood, heading directly to one of the state's many taverns to celebrate. Others were determined to stay home, worried it was too soon to return to crowded restaurants and shops, says the New York Times. But here's the reality. Despite all of this, most Americans are continuing to be responsible. Most Americans are continuing to make risk-averse decisions if they can do so. But the notion, again, is this partisan divide is so deep that basically it's one or the other. Either you want to lock down and cower in fear, or you want to go out there without a mask and you want to infect as many people as humanly possible and you don't care what happens next. And that is just not the way most Americans are responding. That is not their way. And by the way, that is not the way that even blue states are responding. New Jersey is about to open its beaches. Jersey Shore is going to be open now, according to NewJersey.com. Under Governor Murphy's executive order, beaches and lakefronts must limit the number of visitors given access so people can properly socially distance. Families and households are allowed to cluster together. Otherwise, people need to be 6 feet apart. The opening goes into effect May 22nd, the beginning of Memorial Day weekend and the unofficial start of the summer season. Murphy said, the Jersey Shore, after all, is where memories are made. The last thing any of us wanted was for a summertime down the shore to be a memory. But I thought that, according to Governor Phil Murphy, just like Andrew Cuomo, any attempt to open anything was going to end inevitably in more death. Hey, notice, everybody's following the same policies, Democrats, Republicans. Kentucky is now lifting its travel ban. Governor Andy Beshear over there, who's a Democrat, is now lifting the travel ban in Kentucky. So blue states are doing this too. Here's Andy Beshear yesterday.
May 22nd is also when we're going to let the travel ban expire. The travel ban has been very important to where we are and to flattening the curve. And we still need to be very careful about where we travel to. If you are thinking about going to the beach right now, it is still very dangerous. And remember, there are hundreds of cases in western Kentucky related to a trip to the beach. But if you have family that lives close by that's coming in for Memorial Day, again, you can socially distance. They don't fall into the vulnerable categories. You know, that's at a place that we are now at, and we're seeing a number of these travel bans expiring.
Okay, so even the Democrats are saying, you know what, this is just not workable, and we are starting to reopen. And by the way, the longer you tighten people down, the more people are going to move from areas that are reasonable to areas that are reasonable, in fact. And you're starting to see that trend. That trend is very real. You're going to see, I'm predicting, within the next year and a half, you'll see a rush from places like New York and Los Angeles out to other places. The places that lock down the tightest are the places that are going to squeeze the air out of the balloon. People are going to leave. I've talked to so many friends in the past week alone who have talked about moving out of L.A. I'm talking about prominent people in the Los Angeles area who have said, this is ridiculous. Right? They're letting criminals out of jail. They won't let me go out of my house without a mask. And then if my house gets robbed, the police show up and tell me they can't do anything. So, no. And then we're going to get charged twice in taxes because they're going to have to fill in whatever payroll gap they created because of their crappy fiscal policies. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that right now is not a great time to go to the post office, but lots of people sending lots of packages right now. The mail is one of the ways we stay in touch and one of the ways we're getting business done with so much retail closed. With Stamps.com, you can print postage on demand and skip the lines and crowds at the post office. Plus, you can actually save some money with discounts you can't even get at the post office. As if that wasn't enough, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discounts up to 62% and no UPS residential surcharges. Here at Daily Wire, we've been using Stamps.com since 2017. No more wasting our time. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service direct to your computer in the safety and comfort of your own home, office, anywhere else you are hunkering down right now. Whether you're a small business sending invoices or an online seller shipping out products, or you're just working from home and you need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle all of it with ease. And like I said, Stamps.com, you get great discounts too. 5 cents off every first-class stamp, up to 62% off shipping rates. Stamps.com, it's a no-brainer. It saves you time. It saves you money. Right now, my listeners get a special offer. It includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Shapiro. Again, that is Stamps.com, and type in Shapiro after you click on that microphone at the top of the homepage. All righty. Well, we're going to get to more of this in just 1 second. It is amazing to watch as the entire informational story put out by the media turns out to have been a complete lie. This lie that there is a harsh division between lockdown states and non-lockdown states, and that lockdown states were going to benefit and non-lockdown states were all going to die. It turns out all of that was crap. It was not informationally driven, which does lead you to question why there are so many politicians who continue to push it. And the answer, of course, is partisanship. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact we are home more than usual these days, and there are more criminals on the streets than usual these days. This is particularly true in my home city of Los Angeles. I literally had two friends who were robbed in the last week and a half. Good news is, both of them had Ring. The police are on the case. Ring is on a mission to make your neighborhood safer. Their home security products are designed to give you peace of mind around the clock. From video doorbells and security cameras to smart security lighting and alarm systems, Ring has everything you need to make sure your family and belongings are safe and secure anytime, anywhere. With the all-new Ring Video Doorbell 3, you can even keep a closer eye on things than ever before. Ring will give you protection at every corner. Video doorbells will let you answer the door and check in on your home anytime. They have outdoor security cameras, so you can check in on every part of your house and never miss a moment. Smart lighting that brightens up blind spots and makes sure you always come home to a brightly lit house. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/Shapiro. That welcome kit includes the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and the Chime Pro. That's what you need to start building custom security for your home today. Just head on over to ring.com/Shapiro. Again, that is ring.com/Shapiro, ring.com/Shapiro. So as I say, the media's narrative here, which is that Andrew Cuomo did a great job and Ron DeSantis was a disaster. And lockdown is a great idea, but not locking down is a terrible idea. And Sweden is horrible, but states that lock down are doing an amazing, amazing job. As time progresses, it becomes perfectly obvious that all of this narrative was just bullcrap. And the fact that there's so many people who are willing to maintain the narrative in the face of different information is astonishing. And good for Politico for even recognizing that Ron DeSantis has basically been screwed over by the media. I love the Washington Post editorial today. Picture of Andrew Cuomo. It says, the staggering coronavirus toll at nursing homes justifies extreme measures. You think? You think? Some of us have been saying this since the middle of March. That guess what? A vastly disproportionate number of people are dying at nursing homes because this is a disease that targets elderly people with compromised immune systems and people who have pre-existing conditions. Only now are you beginning to realize, hey, wait a second, Andrew Cuomo's a crappy governor and all of his little cute stories with Chris Cuomo don't solve for the problem, that his state has lost more people than any other state by probably a factor of 3 at this point. According to the Washington Post editorial board, residents and staff of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities account for roughly half of 1% of the U.S. population and more than a third of the COVID-19 deaths. That justifies extreme measures by federal and officials and states. So far, both have balked, so they're going to try and blame the feds for the fact that Andrew Cuomo didn't shut down his own nursing homes. Incredible. Dr. Deborah Birx said, we really believe that all 1 million nursing home residents need to be tested within the next 2 weeks, as well as the staff. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who has ordered twice weekly testing for nursing home staff in his state, is leading the way. Is it like, what? What? So then, how bad is the Washington Post editorial board? They're portraying Andrew Cuomo, who blew this thing worse than any governor in America, as the hero of the nursing home story. That is, like, yes, I certainly trust these people to make decisions for you and for me. And more than that, I trust them to provide us unbiased information so that we can make our own decisions. The frustration is reaching breaking point here. Dave Portnoy over at Barstool Sports, he put out a video yesterday that got 6 million views. And I got to tell you, what he says here is absolutely correct. Here's Dave Portnoy.
We've done what you've asked us to do. If you're that scared still of corona, stay inside. The beds are open. It doesn't kill everyone. I get it. It's not a great option. There are no great options. But you can't just decimate the entire economy. How the f*** is that going to work? We're staying inside till there's a cure? When did that become the game? Who said we're getting a cure? That's not a guarantee. So we're just done as humans? Get the hell out of here. There's risk. We're Americans. You have to take risk.
Okay, this is correct. And he's being ripped up and down by the left yesterday for this. Explain to me what's inaccurate about this. Joe Rogan yesterday says, listen, I may have to leave California because this is unlivable. I can't tell you how many friends I've taken calls from in the last week or two who have said exactly the same thing. And you know who can afford to leave California? The people who can afford to leave California. The people who are getting absolutely jacked are the people who are losing their jobs. And no matter how many times Eric Garcetti promises you there will be money to fill in your bank account, when all the people who can afford to leave do...
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/headline or text the code headline to 511-511. Text headline to 511-511 today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So one of the problems for Democrats is that they do have a few Democrats who say the quiet part out loud. So AOC always says the stupid, she always says the quiet part out loud, AOC. It's one thing that I love about AOC. People have said, if you could snap your fingers and she wouldn't be on the political scene, would you make AOC go away? No. AOC's fantastic. AOC always says the quiet part out loud, which is really important because then it reveals the agenda. So the illustrious, incomparable AOC, the fresh face, so fresh, so face, so masky. AOC, she said yesterday that we need to pay illegal immigrants to stay away from work because obviously we should be using taxpayer dollars to support illegal immigrants. And then she added on, because undocumented workers pay billions more than many corporations do, which is just insane. Okay, she doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. She doesn't know how corporate taxes work. She doesn't understand that when Jeff Bezos, when Amazon pays Jeff Bezos, but Jeff Bezos pays money on his income, she doesn't understand how corporate structures work. So she thinks that corporations, ironically enough, the same people who say corporations are not people for purposes of free speech, treat corporations like people for purposes of taxation. It doesn't matter to them that if you and your friend organize an LLC and the profits flow through to you and you pay an income tax, you have now paid tax on the money that flows through the corporation. She thinks the corporation is like a separate person that goes out for a burger or something. Here's AOC saying dumb crap about illegal immigrants and why we should pay them.
By the way, they pay taxes. I say this all the time because people don't know. They pay more taxes, more billions of dollars in taxes than many corporations do. So it just makes sense. But long term, we need to address health care, housing, wages, and we need to make sure that we do it in a way that's not means tested, where there's all these Swiss holes that people fall through and their problems aren't addressed.
Okay, but AOC went even further than this. She says, listen, not only do we need universal health care, that's just the first step, guys. Now that we've seen what a pandemic can do, let's just pay everybody. And not only is everybody a socialist during a pandemic, says AOC, everybody should be a socialist forever. Now, who's going to pay for this? She never explains. If you radically restructure the United States, why would anybody buy our bonds long term? She never explains. But here is AOC explaining that she wants to radically reshift how America works.
We are long past the time to guarantee health care in the United States. That's level one. Because when we get to a point where we're struggling to afford a meal or when we're struggling to feel economic security or material security, it's because all of these things are chipping away at us. It's healthcare, it's student loans, it's rent, it's the high cost of housing and the high cost of living, and all of that. It's immigration status, and so all of this is systemic.
It's all systemic. Everything is systemic. It's not that we just got hit by the worst black swan in modern history. It's all systemic, and therefore we need to completely overthrow the system. And then you think I'm going to listen to her about lockdowns? Or maybe am I going to think that there's another agenda here? Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley did the same thing yesterday. They said it's time to cancel student loan debt. Why the hell is it time to cancel student loan debt? That's long-term debt you took out. Why is it time for me to pay for your student loan bills? Why should I? Like, why? I was responsible enough to pay not only my bills, but pay my wife's student loan bills. I was wise enough to put my kids' funds that I can put in a Utah account, right, so that I'm saving for their college education. But bottom line, every crisis is an opportunity for folks in the Democratic Party. And so you're not giving me information. You're telling me that I can't make an individual decision, but that I'm going to have these dolts making decisions for me? I think not.
About economic recovery, post-COVID-19, you should care about student debt cancellation.
Many folks who still are in the process of getting their unemployment benefits, people who are graduating without any foresight on to what their future looks like.
We need relief bills that put the people first. And this is a way to put the people first. By eliminating the debt, by eliminating a worry, and putting money back in their pockets.
Oh, so magically it's just going to appear. Yeah, these people should definitely set policy. This is Trump's campaign, by the way. Trump's campaign, as these lockdowns end, as more Americans recognize that they're going to have to make their own individual risk calculations, Trump's campaign here is actually a fairly strong one. Now, the Democrats are going to try and campaign on Trump botched this thing. He did such a terrible job. But Trump being able to campaign against people who obviously want to restrict your ability to make your own decisions is going to be a strong one. Here's Trump yesterday saying people would like their freedom back, please.
Great time in Pennsylvania to... tremendous state. They ought to start thinking about opening it up. You have a lot of people want their freedom, and they'll get their freedom very soon.
Hey, and this is right. If this campaign comes down to Democrats basically saying, you don't get any of the freedom, we're going to tell you to lock down forever, but we'll sign you a check, and President Trump saying, you know what, most Americans would like to have their freedom back, and we're talking November. Guys, it's been fun. It's the middle of May. Try this again in 6 months. 6 months. You think people are going to lock down? People aren't going to lock down for six more weeks. It's not going to happen. So, people in government better get with the program and start recommending policies that are justifiable. You want people to do responsible things? Recommend to them justifiable data-driven policy. Don't recommend to them that they're just out there to strangle grandma, because it ain't true. And the people who are saying it don't have to worry about feeding their kids. The people who are saying it don't have to worry about losing their life savings in their business. The people who are saying that are not the ones who are suffering right now. The people who are most pro-lockdown seem to be the ones who are suffering the least right now. I don't want to hear any more polls about lockdown versus complete opening. Nobody's talking about that. No one. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra. The economy takes another gut punch from the coronavirus.
The Commerce Department says retail sales dropped by a record 16% from March to April as business shutdowns caused by COVID-19 kept shoppers away and threatened stores across the country. The sharpest drops occurred at clothiers, electronic stores, furniture stores, and restaurants. Purchases at retailers are a major component of overall consumer spending, which fuels about 70% of economic growth. Over the past 12 months, retail sales have plunged nearly 22%. I'm Mike Hempen.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says President Trump was able to ramp up production of ventilators for the COVID-19 crisis at a pace not seen since World War II.
And we started producing ventilators the same way we produced fighter planes at the outset of World War II. We've got a number of great companies, and we're going to have over 50,000 in the U.S. stockpile.
O'Brien tells the Salem Radio Network the task was accomplished under the leadership of the president's son-in-law turned senior advisor, Jared Kushner. The White House is floating the idea of cutting the corporate tax rate in half for U.S. companies who move their operations back to U.S. soil.
The current corporate tax rate is 21%, and White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow proposes cutting it in half.
Why not provide a 50% discount for the corporate tax rate if you're moving from outside the U.S. to the U.S.?
Kudlow told reporters it wasn't policy, but that the White House views the idea as making the U.S. extremely competitive and hospitable to new investments. Greg Clegston, Washington.
And be sure to always check out the latest news and read the best analysis. You can find them both at townhall.com.
Patriot Mobile has reduced prices on all new lines for a limited time. 25, 35, 45, 55. Here's what it means. From a basic $25 plan to $55, unlimited talk and text, Patriot has it all. Whatever your needs. Let their U.S.-based team design a customized family plan just for you. Patriot has no hidden charges like you see on your big mobile bill. And no more supporting Planned Parenthood and gun-grabbing Democratic candidates that they send your money to. Patriot only supports the conservative values you believe in. Keep your number, bring your own phone, or buy a new one. Make the easy switch today to waive all activation fees and get a free gift. Now, get a plan from $25 to $55 and support your values with every call. Call today, 972-PATRIOT, or visit patriotmobile.com/Gorka, G-O-R-K-A. Make the call, 972-PATRIOT, or visit patriotmobile.com/Gorka. Lower prices on new lines, Patriot has it.
According to one U.S. official, the Islamic State affiliate in Afghanistan carried out this week's horrific attack on a maternity hospital in Kabul, killing over 20 people, including mothers and newborn babies.
Peace envoy Zalmay Khalilzad said the U.S. government believes the Islamic State affiliate carried out Tuesday's attack on the hospital and an assault earlier the same day in a different province targeting the funeral of a pro-government warlord, killing 34 people. ISIS has not claimed responsibility for the maternity hospital attack. Doctors Without Borders, which operates the hospital, called the attack pure hell. It said the gunman moved directly to the maternity wards, ignoring other medical units closer to the entrance of the medical complex. I'm Zaria Shackley.
Washington imposing new restrictions on Chinese tech giant Huawei, limiting its ability to use American technology. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. One House Republican has introduced a bill to give meatpacking plants a liability shield against lawsuits.
Missouri Republican Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler introduced legislation Friday that would provide liability protection for meat processing facilities mandated by President Trump to remain open. The Protecting Protein Production and Consumer Access Act would protect companies from lawsuits if they're not caused by criminal misconduct. Mr. Trump signed an executive order last month, citing powers afforded him under the Defense Production Act that compelled meatpacking facilities to remain open during the pandemic in an effort to head off disruptions in the food supply chain. I'm Bernie Bennett in Washington.
A person briefed on the matter says Tesla has picked Austin, Texas, and Tulsa, Oklahoma as finalists for its new U.S. assembly plant. The electric car maker says it wants the factory to be in the center of the country, and it will be larger than a California factory that employs 10,000 workers. More at townhall.com.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
He's not with us. He was literally on TV last night, and he was played a recording of somebody, and he tried to talk to the recording, which, I mean, for a man in his mental condition is not particularly surprising. By the way, that is not just idle speculation. I mean, have you seen him? Yeah, it's not just me being mean. Have you actually viewed him? Isn't that when the media was trying to claim that John McCain was going senile? Like, the guy's clearly losing it. It's perfectly obvious. Meanwhile, the media are focused laser-like on how can we possibly ignore the suffering that is going on in American life with regard to the economy. And the lockdown mentality of the media is starting to wane a little bit. It's starting to wane. Basically, as Democrats start opening up their economies in their states, the media are suddenly discovering that people are in economic hurt. It was amazing. For weeks, if you said, hey, by the way, people's dreams are being lost, it was, how dare you? How, you can't point that out. How dare you? If you mention that people are losing their livelihoods, losing their dreams, losing their life savings, that's because you don't care about grandma and you just want to smother her. Well, now that you have people like Andrew Cuomo in New York talking about opening up and Phil Murphy in New Jersey talking about opening up, now that that's happening, you're starting to see some of the stories emerge about how terrible this has been for people's economic hopes and their dreams and their lives. There's a story out of Michigan talking about the effects on quote-unquote non-essential businesses for people who are running, you know, like music shops. And they've been shut down by Gretchen Whitmer because they've been told that they are a danger to others. And here's one of those stories from Hastings, Michigan.
Not just the closing of a stupid store. It's the closing of a dream. This is who I am. People that know it is. I can't tell you. I've been sitting here for 60 days watching my neighbors across the street do business day in, day out. They aren't thriving, but they are surviving. There's no reason in hell I couldn't have done the same thing.
Correct. Correct. And instead, he's going to have to go bankrupt and shut his business, which has been open for 20 years. But still, the demagoguery continues. And it really is demagoguery from some members of our media. You wonder why we don't trust members of our media? Because they're damn demagogues. So Whoopi Goldberg on The View today, she's talking with Chris Christie. And Chris Christie has pointed out that when you make public policy, you do risk-reward calculations, you try to mitigate risk, but we have to get back to work, which prompts Whoopi Goldberg to go, so who in your family do you want to kill, Chris Christie? Nobody wants anybody to die. Nobody wants anybody to die. Can we get that, like, straight here? Nobody is seeking more death. But if you refuse to calculate risks when you make public policy, you're not being responsible. You're just being an ass. Here's Whoopi Goldberg being a horse's ass.
Since you're suggesting that I sacrifice, who are you sacrificing? Who are you willing to give up in your family?
People's choice, Whoopi, and that's what people who don't understand what's going on here say. You know, we've got 36 and a half million people unemployed. We have in seven different states now the suicide rate going up.
Who are you willing to sacrifice to die, Chris? You're saying people should be willing to sacrifice family to die. Who are you willing to give up?
Whoopi, that's not what I said.
And that, of course, is not what he said, because no one's saying that. No one's saying go smother grandma so we can all go back to get a haircut. I mean, this is such demagogic nonsense. How many jobs is Whoopi Goldberg willing, how many lives is Whoopi Goldberg willing to ruin so that people can't go back to a store and socially distance while wearing masks? I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. I mean, isn't it? I mean, virtually every state in the union that is reopening is doing so at 25 to 50% capacity and mandatory mask wearing indoors. That's what we're talking about. So how many businesses is Whoopi Goldberg willing to let die? How many dreams is she willing to destroy so that you can't go to a store and socially distance from other people while wearing a mask? But if that sounds like a stupid question, that's because it is a stupid question. And nobody would ask that question. But it's a significantly more accurate question than the one she's asking. Joy Behar tried the same routine on The View, and trying to suggest that Chris Christie wants to kill grandma. It's just such nonsense. And Chris Christie sort of shellacked her for it.
They want to pay their rent. They want to pay their mortgages. They don't have enough money for that. That's what they're crying about. And I don't see the Republican Party helping them. All they're doing is blaming everybody else.
That's just wrong. I mean, it's just absolutely wrong. Your point of view, you're welcome to it. But you're not welcome to your own set of facts. The Republicans have voted to support all of those programs you just talked about. Food programs, aid programs to people with direct checks to them, aid programs to small business, aid programs to frontline health workers and to hospitals. All of those things have gotten overwhelming, in fact, unanimous Republican support, as they've gotten unanimous Democratic support.
Okay, but he's not allowed to say that, right? That we don't believe Chris Christie. Really, Republicans just want people to die. That's the goal. Republicans are desperate to watch people die. This sort of logic is so asinine, and it's why so many people are tuning this stuff out. Most Americans, I think, are going to get to the point where they're just like, listen, I'm an individual. I get to make my own decisions. I'm willing to go to a store and stand 10 feet apart from other people while wearing a mask. People are willing to do that. And you know what? That's their prerogative. That is their prerogative. And the fact that so many in the media refuse to understand the plight of people who are losing their jobs, the fact that for weeks the conversation was, you just want people to die so you can get a haircut. You just want people to die so you can go to a restaurant. No, I want us to be as responsible as possible while reopening so that we don't have 100 million unemployed people in this country. Does that seem unreasonable to anybody? 40% of all low-income workers were fired in March. You know who wasn't fired? Whoopi Goldberg. She still has a job, being an idiot on The View. You know who's still working? Joy Behar, being an idiot on The View. Meanwhile, President Trump is trying to offer some form of optimism to the American people. President Trump did a presser today. He said, we are working toward a vaccine. We're working quickly toward a vaccine. The head of the Defense Department, Mark Esper, basically guaranteed a vaccine by the end of the year. We can only hope and pray that that's true. Here's President Trump today.
Tremendous strides are being made. Scientists at the NIH began developing the first vaccine candidate on January 11th. Think of that. Within hours of the virus's genetic code being posted online. So January 11th, most people never even heard what was going on January 11th, and we were out there trying to develop a vaccine, not even knowing what we were up against.
Okay, well, again, we are working on this. This is why it's amazing to watch as so many in the media and the Joe Biden Democrats try to claim that the federal administration somehow wants COVID to win. It's so stupid. We are... This shouldn't have been partisan. It never should have become partisan. It's because people decided that there was political hay to be made in lockdowns beyond the point of rationality. You get stuff like this from the Biden War Room team. This would be Act Blue, which is a Democratic super PAC. They put out a tweet today that said, nothing would make COVID-19 happier than a vote for Donald Trump. Follow Biden War Room if you're ready for Joe Biden to beat Trump like a drum in November. COVID-19 endorses Trump for a second term. Just gross. Just gross. More on that in a moment. But first, let's talk about the reality. There's never a bad time to save money. Now is the best time in human history to save money. Like, really, given the economic circumstances, you need to save money. One way to do that is save on the things you're already paying for, like home insurance. If you own a home, reshopping your home insurance rates with Policy Genius could save you a solid chunk of change. The best part? You barely need to lift a finger to do it. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then, Policy Genius will compare your policy against options from top insurers and make sure you're getting the right home insurance coverage at the best possible price. If Policy Genius finds you a better rate than what you're currently paying, they will do all the work to get you switched over. If you own a car, Policy Genius will compare your home and auto policies across different insurers, even mix and match, to find you savings. They've saved their customers an average of $1,127 per year doing just that. So, if you'd like to put a little cash back in your pocket right now, see how much you can save by reshopping your home insurance rates at PolicyGenius.com. This is the responsible thing to do, not only because you need the insurance, but also because you need to save money right now. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. They'll take care of all the paperwork and the red tape for you. PolicyGenius.com for all of your insurance needs, including home insurance. PolicyGenius.com. Trump did speak today about reigniting the economic engines. He said, listen, we do have to get back to work, and we do. You know how much clothing sales went down since the beginning of this pandemic? 90%. 90%. Retail sales in total fell more than 16% in April alone. This is not sustainable. It isn't, and everybody knows it. Here's President Trump today.
We're going to have an amazing year next year. We're going to have a great transition into the fourth quarter. As of this morning, almost every state has taken steps to begin reopening, and the American people are doing an extraordinary job of continuing to take precautions while at the same time wanting to start, and they will be starting to resume, their American way of life. We will be reigniting our economic engines.
Okay, and we're going to have to. The Commerce Department has now released a report on retail sales. Restaurants and bars have lost half their business over the past 2 months. Half. At furniture stores, sales are off by two-thirds. Electronics and appliance stores off by 65%. In just a second, we're going to get to the Democratic talking point that if you mention China in all of this, it's because you're a racist. We'll get to that momentarily. First, for weeks I've been telling you about FreedomWorks' hashtag Love America campaign. You should continue doing all the things that I've talked about, right? We should all continue getting gift cards to local businesses to keep them employed. We should continue calling up friends and making sure they're doing okay. We should continue to ensure that the elderly in our community have resources that they need. We also need to pressure our elected officials to actually start coming up with some coherent plans for reopening, because this can't go on forever. I live in L.A., and this is insane. Mayor Garcetti out here has basically said that I'm supposed to mask my four-year-old whenever I go out of the house, and that we're not going to reopen L.A. County until there are zero deaths from COVID-19, which is full-scale crazy insanity. That's why I'm asking you to text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 41490 today. Help FreedomWorks reopen America. The government cannot continue to spend money this way. They can't continue to try to reshape the fundamental basis of the American economy this way and then hope that everything's going to be okay. That's not the way any of this works. We need to start pressuring governors and the White House to come up with plans to carefully and safely reopen the United States. Please help FreedomWorks reopen America. Text Ben to 41490 right now. Text Ben to 41490 right this very instant. And meanwhile, by the way, it's not just the United States that's entering a recession. There's data out of Germany. The German economy suffered its worst contraction since the 2008 global financial crisis. They shrank by 2.2% in the January through March period from the previous quarter. Germany has now entered officially a recession. China is starting to exit their recession, but they are in the middle of possible lockdowns. Also, there are serious questions as to whether movie theaters are ever going to come back. Like, really, because all of these movie theaters were operating on slim margins anyway, and now that the movie theaters have basically been closed down and people are afraid to be in closed spaces, breathing near one another, very doubtful whether movies come back. The first test case of this is that Tenet, the new Christopher Nolan film, is supposed to come out mid-July. It'll be fascinating to see whether people are willing to go to do that. Honestly, if I were the theaters, what I would do, because I know there's high demand for Tenet, is I would include socially distanced seats in there, and wear a mask while I watch the movie, and I'd upcharge. I would charge like three times what I would charge for a normal ticket. But we will see what happens. According to the New York Times, the theater chains are in trouble. If theaters are no longer the only places to watch hot new movies upon release, what exactly is left to attract crowds? The concept that a theater could be an experience beyond the movie itself that would lure people out of their homes, maybe that's the path forward. So they're thinking that maybe they can increase the quality of the movie theaters, and maybe that'll be a path forward. It becomes more of a specialized movie experience. Maybe that is the path forward. Or maybe people will just slowly start getting back to normal because people then tend to price and risk in their daily lives. One of the two will happen, however. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking about the Joe Biden campaign, which continues to stagger forward, and stagger is the correct word. First, you know, there's some things that we've learned about our businesses in the past few weeks. One of those things is you cannot afford inefficiencies. One place that there is inefficiency for a lot of businesses is that hairball of multiple software systems. Instead, why don't you streamline with one? All you need is NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. Finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need, all in one place. So you save time, money, and headaches. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will give you visibility and control so you can manage every penny with precision. Join over 20,000 companies trusting NetSuite to go faster with confidence. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders, assembled a playbook of the top strategies they are using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take right now. Schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Ben. Again, get that free guide, schedule your free product tour right this moment at netsuite.com/Ben. That is netsuite.com/Ben. netsuite.com/Ben to get that free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take right now, and schedule your free product tour. That is netsuite.com/Ben to make sure that your business is running as efficiently as possible and you are right on top of your data. netsuite.com/Ben. Coming up, Joe Biden, he is not with us, and yet his campaign continues to stagger forward. We will bring you the latest. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months. When he got injured, I wasn't prepared, but I knew I had to be strong. When I was told about John's injury, I was in complete shock. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For thousands of severely injured veterans, everyday life is filled with barriers.
It was really the little things throughout the house. Counters that you can't roll up to.
I had to drag my wheelchair down steps.
I want to help, but he is so determined.
At Homes for Our Troops, we build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and automatic door openers that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
This house has given me my family back.
To learn more, visit hfotusa.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/headline or text the code headline to 511-511. Text headline to 511-511 today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the entire Democratic candidacy for 2020, the entire Joe Biden candidacy is reliant on the notion that President Trump blew the COVID-19 response. And this is leading to some rather extraordinary messaging from the left. Okay, so Act Blue, which is a Democratic super PAC, they have an account called Biden War Room, just like Trump has Trump War Room, and it's a super PAC outside of the Trump campaign. Their Biden War Room is a super PAC outside of the Biden campaign, and they put out a tweet today that really is full-scale disgusting. It's really awful. Okay, it says, nothing would make COVID-19 happier than a vote for Trump. Follow Biden War Room if you're ready for Joe Biden to beat Trump like a drum in November. And then it says, breaking news, COVID-19 endorses Trump for a second term. Provided a sanctuary country for the virus to spread. Created new hotspots by encouraging large gatherings. You know who else did that? Andrew Cuomo. Nancy Pelosi. Helped virus grow by calling it a hoax when he knew it wasn't. He never called the virus a hoax. He said the media coverage was a hoax. So your entire campaign apparently is going to be that Trump is screwing up the COVID-19 response. In fact, today, trending on Twitter was this hashtag, Trump has no plan. Okay, well, what's your plan? No one is actually presenting a plan. All I'm hearing from you is screaming at Trump. And every time Trump presents a plan, you just yell at him. By the way, the CDC released a set of guidelines for going back to work. The guidelines are too restrictive. There are guidelines today that say that should you consider opening, will you be consistent with applicable state and local orders? Are you ready to protect employees at higher risk for severe illness? If any of those are no, then do not open. Are the recommended health and safety actions in place? Encouraging social distancing and enhancing spacing between employees, including physical barriers, changing layout of workspaces, encouraging telework, considering modifying travel and commuting practices? If the answer to any of these are no, then you have to meet the safeguard first. And then you have to have an ongoing monitoring system in place. Developing and implementing procedures to check for signs and symptoms of employees daily upon arrival as feasible. What the hell does that even mean? There's no good plan for a pandemic. Yeah, but that is the idea here from Team Biden. Meanwhile, Joe Biden literally cannot string a sentence together. So if I'm supposed to believe that Joe Biden is going to provide the steady, strong leadership that Donald Trump has failed to provide, you're going to need to do better than Joe Biden talking to pre-recorded messages. He did an interview yesterday where the interviewer played him, is on MSNBC, with Lawrence O'Donnell. Lawrence O'Donnell played him a tape of a question. And because Joe Biden is not with us, he passed away, it seems, several years ago. Joe Biden tries to answer the caller as though the caller is live on air because he's not with us anymore. I mean, this is the steady, durable leadership you're looking for. This guy writes an op-ed every so often going, COVID-19 is bad. And the media are like, oh, he said it's bad. Wow, amazing. And then he gets on TV and the dude doesn't even know when he's talking to a live human being because he hasn't been one for a while. Here's Joe Biden.
I want to open it up to our town hall component and get a question from a voter. This first question, Mr. Vice President, is from a voter in California. Let's listen to this.
Okay.
Hi, Vice President Biden. My name is Navid.
Hi.
I am from San Mateo, California. And thank you so much for allowing me to participate in this town hall with you. I'm thinking about that quote from the famed Irish poet Kierkegaard that you always recite.
Good times. Good times. And the good news for Joe Biden is that the media will protect him no matter what. It doesn't matter that he can't string a sentence together. It doesn't matter that his record has been fairly abysmal. None of that matters because Joe Biden has the media on his side. So, for example, Joe Biden yesterday, he was asked specifically about Michael Flynn because it turns out that Joe Biden was one of the people who requested the unmasking of Michael Flynn. Now, it's not illegal to request the unmasking of somebody if you are in the executive branch. It is, however, a pretty good indicator that you were involved in the decision-making regarding Michael Flynn. Here was Joe Biden dodging questions on it yesterday.
Mr. Vice President, what was your involvement in the investigation of Michael Flynn and the FBI investigation of Michael Flynn?
I was never a part or had any knowledge of any criminal investigation into Flynn while I was in office, period. Not one single time.
Okay, nobody said that you had knowledge of the criminal investigation, although it is weird that you were talking with Barack Obama about Flynn's conversation before the DOJ even knew about it, courtesy of the FBI. Okay, but the good news is, again, the media will carry water for Biden no matter what. There's a piece in the Daily Beast titled, The New CBS Reporter Driving Democrats and Some of Her Own Colleagues Crazy. And it's all about the evils of Catherine Herridge. Because Catherine Herridge, of course, is a reporter for CBS who used to work at Fox News. And so now there's an entire piece about how she is pushing GOP talking points. Why? Because that's exactly what the Biden campaign said yesterday. It's incredible to watch as a message is created inside the Biden campaign and then promptly repeated by members of the mainstream media, even if it's a message about how other members of the media are bad. Here's another example. New York Times has a piece today by Nick Corisanti and Maggie Haberman. And here's what it says. The first wave of long-promised negative ads from the Trump campaign began this week in caustic form, flooding Facebook pages and television screens in swing states with harsh messages that make unfounded inferences about Joseph Biden's mental state. Yeah, I don't think you have to make an unfounded inference about his mental state. All you got to do is watch the man for more than 6 minutes and paint the presumptive Democratic nominee as too friendly to the Chinese government. In May alone, the Trump campaign has spent or reserved about $7 million on television airtime in local markets, fueling negative ads that repeat xenophobic tropes regarding the Chinese origin of the coronavirus. So now you're actually just blatantly labeling Trump a racist on the basis that he points out that this virus came from China. Just pick it, I mean, pick up that water and carry it, man. This is Jack and Joe go up the hill carrying water for Joe Biden. Impressive stuff from the New York Times. I definitely trust these people. Definitely trust these people. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palos Pedro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palos Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. Texting is a more powerful way for local businesses to adapt to the new normal. Podium even assists in accepting safe, no-contact payments. Podium is making it easier than ever for businesses of all sizes to get started with their new starter package. Within minutes of signing up, your business could be texting. Go to podium.com/business. Podium.com/business. That's podium.com/business today.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Leonard in Kansas City, Missouri. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Leonard.
Hey, Ben. Listening to you every day, you make me a better person.
Oh, that's really, really sweet of you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And I want to preface this in 20 seconds, and then there will be a question at the end of it. But I know the president has referred to the virus as the invisible enemy. Today, I'd like to propose to you the invisible enemy 2.0, and I think that's inflation, because I think that the only way to harness inflation is to slash the deficit. And as you know, the dollar is fractured, and we have $393 billion worth of gold in our treasury, and we don't own an ounce. Are you worried about the vulnerability of the American dollar?
So in the international economy right now, I'm not super worried about the vulnerability of the American dollar because everybody's getting hit hard. So the U.S. is best positioned to take a downturn like this specifically because we are still a better investment than other countries. But that does rely on there not being massive systemic changes to the United States economy. So if you see Democrats who are pushing universal health care, who are pushing student loan forgiveness, who are pushing a radical restructuring of the American economy, then that means that fewer and fewer people are going to be buying bonds for us, and that's going to mean that we can't pay back our debt, and then we do have to inflate our way out of that. So right now, we're not in a high-risk situation for the American dollar. If the economy does not recover, we're pretty quickly put into a very high-risk situation for the American dollar because it becomes obvious that we are not going to be paying back our debt via sort of natural taxation and spending. So that's the real danger right now, and that's why I think it's really important that conservatives and Republicans make sure that the measures that they are taking right now are not directed at undermining the laissez-faire economy that had granted us a 3.5% unemployment rate as of 2.5 months ago. And this idea that we are going to pay unemployment benefits that are greater than the actual salaries that people were earning, and we're going to try and do that through January, which is something that Democrats would like to do, or that we're going to pay illegal immigrants, or that we are going to radically restructure our nation's fiscal system along the lines that Nancy Pelosi would like to see. I mean, all of that is a deliberate attempt to reshift the nature of the American economy, and none of that is going to bear fruit. It's really going – you can spend and spend and spend until everybody realizes you have no intention of paying it back.
Yeah, and to me, I wonder how the American people are going to feel when they're counting on their futures and they find out that their dollar is going to be worth about 37 to 47 cents if we're going on this increase with expanding our deficit.
Well, that's right. I mean, inflation – economists have long discussed the fact that inflation is a secret tax. And because the fact is that whatever dollars you have earned, every time there's inflation, the dollar that you earned is worth less. So if you inflate at 2% per year, then over the course of 50 years, your money is basically worth zero. So the big problem that you have right now in the United States is not, you know, the amount of money that the Fed is pouring in, because, again, a lot of money was taken out of the economy thanks to COVID-19. But the problem of restructuring the entire American economy along the lines left wants, which makes it nearly impossible for us ever to repay that debt, right? Germany could take out debt and then take austerity measures in order to pay back their debts. But Greece, at a certain point, their economy was not capable of sustaining their debt, and they started to fall apart. Leonard, really appreciate the call. Marcus in Pennsylvania, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Marcus.
Hi, Ben. I wanted to know your thoughts as to why Governor Wolf is so adamant about keeping the real estate industry labeled as non-essential in Pennsylvania, especially when PA is one of the only states that it's deemed non-essential. And And also, you know, it's kind of wild that you see a couple hundred people inside of big box stores, and yet he's not allowing realtors to bring one or two people into a house so that they can get housing.
Yeah, it's totally insane. I mean, the fact remains that Governor Wolf's distinctions between quote-unquote essential and non-essential businesses is not based in fact. A little bit earlier last month, he vetoed a bill that would have allowed more Pennsylvania businesses to reopen over public health objections, but I do not understand in any way how it is that realtors socially distancing while showing people a house is a danger to public health. I mean, this is just, it's nuttiness. But you've seen this sort of stuff in Michigan, too. I mean, I'm hearing from real estate agents in Michigan who are saying, I'm confused. If I'm in the construction industry, then I'm allowed to work. If I am in the finance industry, then I'm allowed to work. If I'm a realtor, I'm not allowed to show people a property. Like, that, what the hell are we talking about here? Wolf ordered in March, by the way, all but, quote-unquote, life-sustaining businesses to close physical operations. And then millions of Pennsylvanians are now unemployed, obviously. Wolf has been really terrible in his treatment of this thing, and the scorn with which he treats people who would like to go back to their jobs is pretty astonishing to me, frankly.
Definitely agreed. Do you think that he's going to veto? There's a bill out right now, HB 2412, that just passed the House and the Senate. Do you think that that will get vetoed by him?
I think that right now he has boxed himself into a corner such that if he doesn't relieve the executive orders himself, and he is forced to do so by the legislature, he looks bad. So I guess he's going to veto everything and then try and do everything by executive order. Because he locked everything down by executive order, he wants to be solely responsible for reopening. So I would be shocked if he doesn't veto any sort of legislative bill put forward at this point. Marcus, appreciate the call. Chris in Florida, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Chris.
Hi. I don't know if you have an answer to this question. Do you have any idea of how long asymptomatic people shed the virus? In other words, are they walking around like a typhoid Mary, you know, where they're just, is it a 3-week time they're shedding the virus, or is it?
So they're not actually sure at this point. There were some studies that came out, you know, in the very recent past, like this week, suggesting that here's a study that I can give you by a couple of doctors being printed in Medscape. They say the duration of viral shedding varies significantly and may depend on severity. Among 137 survivors of COVID-19, viral shedding based on testing of oropharyngeal samples, which mean like no nasal samples, range from 8 to 37 days with a median of 20. So theoretically, you could still be shedding the virus even after you have developed immunity to the virus. The asymptomatic shedding usually occurs prior to you developing the immunity to the virus. And the asymptomatic shedding could be minimum a week, 2 weeks. Could be asymptomatic for two and a half weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, we just don't know the answer to this. That's why the idea that testing itself is going to somehow be the cure-all, unless you have 330 million Americans taking a test every single day, and then you're forcibly quarantining anybody who tests positive, that's just not going to be realistic. Plus, the testing itself is not 100% accurate. There are significant down problems in testing, underestimates of positives and overestimates of negatives. There is no easy answer here, and that's why whenever anybody suggests kind of the sloganeering of testing and tracing will fix everything, you hear this on CNN a lot.
No.
It's because they actually don't know anything about testing, tracing, or asymptomatic virus shedding. It's pretty ridiculous.
Right. Okay, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Chris, I appreciate the call. All righty, we're going to take more of your calls in a moment at 855-236-3228. First, you know it's a very frustrating thing? It's very frustrating when you have your earphones and they're connected to your phone, and now they are all tangled up, and now you have to untangle those earphones. That is a very irritating thing, and it happened to me a lot before I got Raycon wireless earbuds. Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds, but before you go dropping hundreds of bucks on a pair, check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know that Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands that you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, they're the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you that nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are really comfortable. We're talking perfect for conference calls, binging podcasts. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet. No dangling wires, no dangling stems to distract anybody during those video calls. You don't look like a bug. Now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's BUYRAYCON.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Once more, buyraycon.com/Ben. Sandy in New Jersey, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Sandy.
My question is, in November, of course, I want to see everybody stand in line and be able to cast their vote. My concern is that if we were to have an uptick in the virus and say they did another, you know, round of you can't go out, it's unsafe, and you pass the deadline for signing up for a mail-in ballot, what should you do?
So my guess is that it depends on where you are, that states are going to be making provisions for this sort of. So first of all, Sandy, you're in New Jersey. So my guess is that they would probably pass some sort of emergency legislation that allows people to participate via mail-in ballot. I think that is the most likely scenario. There are other states where people are less risk averse, you know, places like Wisconsin, where they want a more regularized process. But my guess is that Governor Murphy is going to be pushing very hard in New Jersey for everybody to be able to vote in by mail-in ballot anyway. And that's probably the likeliest scenario. And that if people are caught up short, then they will figure out a way to get you a mail-in ballot. So when it comes to the mail-in ballots, I feel like blue states are probably going to be pretty – they're going to move with alacrity to ensure that everybody has a mail-in ballot. Whether that's a good idea or not is another question. There's significant potential for voter fraud, obviously. There's pretty significant problems with people voting 3 to 4 weeks early before an election. But if I'm in New Jersey, I'm not too worried about that. I'd be more worried about that if I were in a red state, frankly. But red states are more rural and aren't getting hit as hard by this, by the same token. By the way, people aren't generally not getting this at the polling places. Like Israel held an entire prime ministerial election. Just in the middle of this, like early March. And in Wisconsin, they held a statewide election that had something like 150,000 voters, and they had a grand total of 50 diagnosed COVID-19 cases among people who voted. And it's not even clear that people got it voting. Wow. So that's probably not the place where people are actually getting COVID-19.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I
appreciate it. Seamus in Queens, New York. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for your voice. I just have a question. With the recent extension of New York State's stay-at-home order by Governor Cuomo, how can a business owner express their right to work? If we open and arrested, will law be upheld in court, or will a judge side with the state?
So the state has tremendous power for closing these sorts of things down. And again, you're in New York, so likely you come before a federal judge located in New York, and that those judges tend to be a little bit more liberal. If you elevate it to the state Supreme Court is liberal. Honestly, court challenges in places like New York are going to be difficult. But there is a truth, which is that governors and mayors do not like these lawsuits, and they like to avoid these lawsuits. So even in California, there was an attempt by folks in Huntington Beach to sue the state of California for basically discriminating against Huntington Beach and shutting it down. And the state quickly backed off of that. So I think you're going to see that increasingly. New York City is going to be the most difficult place in the United States to win a lawsuit on this sort of stuff because it was the epicenter in the first place. And so I think that it's going to be – honestly, I don't think that's going to be the way that New York City opens. I think the way that New York City opens is that even Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo recognize that the complete death of the economy of New York City is not sustainable for the vast majority of people living in New York State, and that business owners and employees are simply not going to be able to get checks forever. I mean, that's why today Governor Cuomo announced that he was opening parts of the state and basically declared victory. He said, we flattened the curve, yay for us. Pretty fascinating to watch as he shifts. So I don't think it's going to last that much longer in New York, even though the stay-at-home order has continued until June 15th.
Thank you, Ben.
Appreciate the call. We'll take more of your calls at 855-236-3228 coming up. Plus, we will check the mailbag, the vaunted Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. You're listening to the Ben Shapiro Show.
For the safety of students, families, and teachers, schools across our country are closing.
School closures can have significant and lasting consequences, particularly for vulnerable students, students who may face hunger, homelessness, and even trauma.
That's where our organization, Communities and Schools, can help. For years, we've had caring adults inside schools helping these students stay in school.
Now, we are taking our work beyond the school walls. Our caring adults are delivering meals, providing household supplies, connecting kids with online classrooms, and using technology to maintain the one-on-one relationships we know can transform the lives of students and their families.
Communities and Schools, going wherever we are needed, doing whatever it takes to empower students to succeed in school and in life.
To see how you can help kids succeed, visit communitiesandschools.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/talk or text the code TALK to 511-511. Text TALK to 511-511 today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is a...
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime and let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. How's it going, Ben? I just want to say, long-time listener, even I think since 2015, I appreciate all you do. I remember listening to your first episode. It was like 15 minutes long. It's crazy to see where you progress. I had a question. So I'm really intrigued with, you know, United States history and the early parts of the Founding Fathers, and I'm currently reading the Federalist Papers. It's a great book. I agree with you. Hamilton's a great writer. I love John Jay. And as I'm reading it, they have all these great ideas on how to unify the country economically, politically, socially. But I just get the feeling that I'm trying to apply the ideas to today. And I guess my question is, what do you think these writers would think about today's political culture and how, which is so polarized? I mean, I don't want to, you know, separate and go back to the Confederacy, but like, I mean, do you have like the feeling that this might be the new trend, you know, with...
Yeah, nobody's in favor of the Confederacy. The Confederacy was bad. But when it comes to... today's polarized political culture. I mean, so there's two questions there. One is, were the founders used to polarization? The answer there is yes. I mean, they literally fought in a politically based war, and then they also had pretty knockdown, drag out fights between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. But as far as the topic of the polarization, that they would be shocked by. They would be shocked that there is a mainstream, possibly majority movement in the United States to give government ultimate and nearly unlimited power. That they would not, they would absolutely be shocked by that, because there was a baseline understanding by Federalists, Anti-Federalists, that is expressed in Federalist 51 by James Madison, that men are not angels and men are not devils. Men are men. They have the capacity for sin. They have the capacity for greatness. And this is why you need checks and balances. So you have to balance men's ambitions against the fact that government does at times need to do things. And so what the founders understood is that there is a fixed human nature, and that fixed human nature is not entirely good, and that simply granting people the imprimatur of power doesn't make people better. That is a really resonant statement today, but the fact is that a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people believe that there are certain people who are righteous based almost purely at this point on your victimhood membership in the group hierarchy, and that's ugly stuff that the founders never would have agreed with. I think the Federalist Papers are more powerful than ever, especially because they really did think about the system of government. One of the great disunifying factors in American life, and this has been true really since the beginning, has been the rejection of the idea that we are a polity with a shared aim and a shared goal as expressed in the Declaration of Independence versus the notion that we are basically a bunch of competing interest groups who can't stand each other, and whoever grabs the government gun gets to control it. And that second vision is starting to predominate. It's particularly dominant on college campuses. It's predominant in the Democratic Party these days. And it's extraordinarily dangerous. So I always urge people to read the Federalist Papers because they should understand that a lot of the concerns that they express, like the founders, they didn't know what they were talking about. Now, the founders knew pretty well what they were talking about, and the stuff they were talking about is stuff that doesn't change. Human nature does not change. The ambition of people does not change. The venality and corruption of people doesn't change. And that means the system of government they created should still be durable.
No, you're exactly right. And so, yeah, thanks for answering my question. Like I said, I just kind of feel we're kind of going away towards that goal and towards those ideas, and it's kind of sad. So, but I can't wait to read your book. I pre-ordered your book, and thanks for answering the question.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate you listening. All righty, Alan in Washington State, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Alan.
Hey, Ben. My question is, with Obama's name being in, Obamagate and everything, do you think he'll be formally investigated, and do you think charges will be brought?
I do not think he will be.
I don't think so. Yeah,
I don't think so either. I do not think that charges will be brought against the former president of the United States, nor do I think he will be formally investigated. I think there are other members of the administration who theoretically could be, right? The Andrew McCabe's, the James Comey's, that's always a possibility. But there's not really serious allegations of lawbreaking by Obama himself, unless you think that he's the one who leaked. So it's really more that Obama had a long history of tolerating lawbreaking inside his administration. We were all supposed to ignore that. But, you know, as far as him being a personal law violator, unlikely to be found, unlikely to be investigated that way. Remember, I mean, the IRS under Lois Lerner was overtly targeting pro-Israel conservative groups. And Obama was basically winking and nodding at it, but there was no smoking gun, so he never ended up under the gun. In fact, neither did Lois Lerner, even the head of the IRS. So, you know, it'd be very difficult to investigate Obama properly in this regard. The president very rarely is directly attached to action that is prosecutable, Alan.
Yeah, that's the problem I'm seeing, though. They're targeting Trump after everything that they can even come up with, but when Obama's name comes up with anything, there's like, no, nothing can ever happen.
Well, I mean, that's right. And one of the things that has happened with regard to President Trump, and this is because he actually doesn't know very well how government works because he's new to it, which is kind of an incredible thing, is that he tends to go straight to the person he wants to do something and then just say to them he wants them to do it, right? So he doesn't just sort of let the suggestion linger out there in the air and then somebody takes advantage of the suggestion and goes and commits the act, which is what Obama did. Obama would be like, you know, it'd be great if these 501c3s would stop being approved. That'd be pretty great. I mean, these are being weaponized. And then the IRS would be like, oh, so that's what he wants us to do. Whereas Trump, if he wanted that done, he might actually call up the head of the IRS and be like, I want you to do this. And right. And so one is they achieve exactly the same purpose, but one is done with buffers, as they put it in Godfather 2, a lot of buffers. Trump has no buffers. Trump just has no guardrails in terms of what he says. And so that makes him more investigatable. It doesn't mean he's any more guilty than anything that Obama has done. For sure. It just means that Obama was able to get away with more because he was willing to allow his henchmen to do the work as opposed to kind of taking the situation in hand himself. Alan, I appreciate the call. By the way, should be noted that the attorney for Michael Flynn has now put out an open memorandum to Barack Obama, ripping Obama, because Obama did this whole phone call where he suggested that Michael Flynn, it's unprecedented to let Michael Flynn go. This letter is pretty devastating. The attorney, whose name is Sidney Powell, he says, here is some help for you. Your statement is entirely false. First, General Flynn was not charged with perjury, which requires a material false statement made under oath with intent to deceive. A perjury prosecution would have been appropriate and the rule of law applied if the Justice Department prosecuted your former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe for multiple lies under oath in an investigation of a leak only he knew he caused. Second, it would seem your wingman Eric Holder is missing a step these days at Covington and Burling. Indelibly marked in his memory should be his motion to dismiss the multi-count jury verdict of guilty and the entire case against former U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. Within weeks of Holder becoming Attorney General, he moved to dismiss the Stevens prosecution in the interest of justice for the same reason the DOJ did against General Flynn, egregious misconduct by prosecutors who hid exculpatory evidence and concocted purported crimes. Third, the inability of anyone in your alumni association to find anybody who has been charged with anything just getting off scot-free would be laughable were it not so pathetic. Many of your alum feature prominently in the nonfiction legal thriller published in 2014, Licensed to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. A national bestseller, it focused on the egregious prosecutorial misconduct of your longest-serving White House counsel, Catherine Rumler, your counterterrorism advisor, Lisa Monaco, Loretta Lynch's deputy AG for the criminal division, Leslie Caldwell, and Mueller protege, Andrew Weissman, While working as federal prosecutors on the Enron task force, they destroyed Arthur Andersen LLP and its 85,000 jobs, sent four Merrill Lynch executives to prison on an indictment that criminalized an innocent business transaction, while they hid the evidence that showed those defendants were innocent for 6 years. Fourth, even if your alumni don't remember multiple cases that had to be reversed or dismissed for their own misconduct, Judge Emmett Sullivan should remember dismissing the corrupted case against Ted Stevens. So, again, Obama and his team were thoroughly corrupt throughout his administration. I wrote an entire book on the levels of corruption inside the Obama administration called The People versus Barack Obama. But the media's willingness to overlook that corruption in favor of the narrative that he was clean as the driven snow politically is absolutely asinine on every single level. All righty. So coronavirus updates coming right at you in the near future. Stay safe out there as we approach the weekend. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. Over Republican opposition, the Democrat-controlled House passed a massive $3 trillion coronavirus response bill Friday aimed at propping up the ailing U.S. economy. The measure has no chance of passing the GOP-controlled Senate, though, has already drawn a White House veto threat. Passage now sets up difficult negotiations with the White House and Senate Republicans over what's likely to be the last major COVID-19 response bill before the general elections in November. JCPenney becomes the fourth major retailer to declare bankruptcy during the coronavirus behind Neiman Marcus, J. Crew, and State Stores. Mike Hempen reports there's a key reason why the economy is contracting.
With fewer Americans spending money the way they normally would, shopping, traveling, and eating out, economists are projecting the gross domestic product, the broadest gauge of economic activity, is shrinking this quarter at about a 40% annual rate. That would be the deepest quarterly drop on record.
Director of Retail Studies at Columbia Business School, Mark Cohen, believes it will get worse before the retail sector embarks on a long and rocky recovery.
My sense is that we don't get back on our feet until late in 2021, if not actually 2022.
No concerns from President Trump about a rapid coronavirus test that may not be reliable.
The test from Abbott Laboratories provides results in about 15 minutes and is used daily at the White House. But there's new data suggesting the test may return too many false negatives. The president said he's not worried.
It's a great test. It's a very quick test. And it can always be very rapidly double-checked.
The Food and Drug Administration issued guidance recommending a second test if someone suspected of having COVID-19 gets a negative test result. Greg Clugston, Washington.
U.S. layoffs soared in March to a record 11.4 million. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. During these challenging times, our commitment to providing you with the best mortgage experience remains. We understand that hardships may arise, and we're prepared to help. Mortgage rates remain near historic lows. If you think that now is the right time to refinance your mortgage, our home loan experts are available to help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. At rocketmortgage.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
McDonald's gives their franchisees a long and expensive list of requirements to reopen.
McDonald's Corporation has presented its franchisees 59 pages of requirements before reopening dining areas, including $718 touchless sinks, $310 automatic towel dispensers, and having employees escort diners to other parts of the restaurant if they sit too close together. The new rules add considerable expenses for each location.
Keith Peters reporting. When the Inn at Little Washington, about 90 minutes west of the nation's capital, reopens later this month, it'll place mannequins decked in 1940s fashions propped up at some tables. The three Michelin star eatery says having the mannequins around will provide some ambiance while obeying guidelines to cut the restaurant's occupancy by half, and it will add a few, make it look bigger for the patrons that are actually living. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Accused gang members are facing some charges.
Charges including murder, attempted murder, and murder conspiracy against 10 men accused of being part of the notorious MS-13 gang. U.S. Attorney Richard Donahue of the Eastern District says the men were all in custody in connection to three killings and other crimes. If convicted, six of the men face mandatory sentences of life in prison and are eligible for the death penalty. Three of the men face maximum sentences of life in prison, and the last man faces up to 15 years in prison. John Scott reporting.
An autopsy on the pilot of the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash shows he did not have drugs or alcohol in his system. Bryant and all eight others died aboard the aircraft, died in the January 26th crash just outside Los Angeles. Autopsy reports were released earlier Friday by the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
A street evangelist reading the Bible and preaching on a public sidewalk outside a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic in Iowa City, Iowa, was arrested. Free speech and religious liberty are not crimes. Join PGI in prayer for a successful outcome of this important case.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
That was Katie Hill's old seat. She had to give it up after it turned out she was nailing half her staff. Mike Garcia has now taken up her seat. We'll also be talking with Dr. Marty McCary, who's an advisor to President Trump on health policy. He has a plan for reopening. Suffice it to say, it does not mean we lock down forever. So that is good news. That's good stuff. All righty. Let's talk for a second about the fact that we are, in fact, reopening. And you know who actually wants to reopen? Wait for it. Andrew Cuomo. Remember that guy who 5 seconds ago was being like, I love my mother, and I would never let my mother die. And that's why we should stay closed forever. Well, now he has put out an executive order that is reopening to begin Finger Lakes, Southern Tier, Mohawk Valley, the North County, and Central New York, all ready to begin phase one of reopening. He says the others can be unpaused the moment they hit their benchmarks. New Yorkers should be proud. Your actions bent the curve. Ah, victory has been declared. So I guess he's now on the kill grandma bandwagon, right? That's the way this works? Because for what I know is that if you are not up for saving, quote unquote, every single life, then that means that you want to kill grandma. So that is exciting, exciting stuff. I mean, Andrew Cuomo fully on board. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis has been pilloried by the news media. Ron DeSantis not only didn't do anything wrong, now the media are starting to realize, oh, we're the ones who blew it. That was, yeah, whoops. Piece by Mark Caputo at Politico and Renuka Ryasam. They say, good evening and greetings from Florida, where we feel the need to inform you it is not a post-apocalyptic hellscape of coronavirus infection and cadavers stacked like cordwood. That is, Florida just doesn't look nearly as bad as the national news media and Sky's fallen critics have been predicting for about 2 months now. But then the national news media is mostly based in New York and loves to love its Democratic governor, Andrew Cuomo, about as much as it loves to hate on Florida's Republican governor, Ron DeSantis. They say, first, let's just come out and say it. DeSantis looks more right than those who criticize the Sunshine State's coronavirus response. According to the latest Florida figures, fewer than 2,000 have died, around 43,000 have been infected, That's a fraction of the dire predictions made for Florida when spring breakers swarmed the beaches. Those numbers are dwarfed by similarly sized New York, which has seen 12 times more deaths, nearly 8 times more infections. More people reportedly died in New York nursing homes than in all of Florida. They say DeSantis is actually pulling worse than Cuomo in their respective states. The Florida press is wondering why. Part of that is style. Cuomo has a smooth delivery, a deep, calming voice, an attitude that projects he can answer any question. DeSantis sometimes comes across as peevish and defensive, has made a misstatement or two, was mocked for struggling to put on a mask, but most of the difference between DeSantis and Cuomo is due to politics. DeSantis governs a politically divided state. Cuomo is a scion of Democratic royalty in a deeply Democratic state. And yes, there's media bias, too. Cuomo has something else DeSantis doesn't, a press that defers to him, one that preferred to cover Florida morons at the beach, where it's relatively hard to get infected, over New Yorkers riding cramped subway cars, where it's very easy to get infected. In fact, people can still ride the subways most hours of the day in New York, but Miami Beach's stands remain closed. Maybe things would be different if DeSantis had a brother who worked in cable news and interviewed him for a sweet moment in prime time. This is correct. This is absolutely correct. Almost as though the media were wildly dishonest for months with us. For months. And by the way, all the Democratic states are reopening too. This week, Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, a red state, blue governor, and he said, yeah, I guess it's time for us to lift the travel ban and get started with this whole reopening thing. So I guess he also wants to kill grandma, since that's the logic we all use here.
May 22nd is also when we're going to let the travel ban expire. The travel ban has been very important to where we are and to flattening the curve. And we still need to be very careful about where we travel to. If you are thinking about going to the beach right now, it is still very dangerous. And remember, there are hundreds of cases in western Kentucky related to a trip to the beach. But if you have family that lives close by that's coming in for Memorial Day, again, you can socially distance. They don't fall into the vulnerable categories. You know, that's at a place that we are now at, and we're seeing a number of these travel bans expiring.
Well, just amazing. You mean blue governors are beginning to open? I can't believe it. Except that this was always going to happen because Americans are going to lead the way. Only 58% of Americans say they are now socially isolating. And that was down from 75% of Americans. And apparently it's true across states. It is not just in the red states where it's, you know, MAGA all the time or anything. It's, people are not going to stay indoors this way. They're just not going to do it. By the way, speaking of New York, it is astonishing. How could Andrew Cuomo possibly be popular? How? The Daily Caller has a brand new breaking report. They say New York has omitted an unknown number of coronavirus deaths in recent reports regarding residents of nursing home and adult care facilities, according to the New York State Department of Health. In early May, those reports quietly began omitting long-term care residents who died of coronavirus in hospitals. Even so, New York still leads the nation with 5,433 reported deaths at nursing homes and adult care facilities as of Wednesday. According to the New York State Department of Health, they confirmed that until around April 28th, it was disclosing deaths for all nursing home and adult care facility residents, regardless of whether the patient died at long-term care or at a hospital. But around May 3rd, according to web archives, the New York State Department of Health changed their disclosure techniques. Now they only report coronavirus deaths for long-term care patients who died physically at the facility. So if you were at a nursing home and then you died at the hospital, they don't count that as a nursing home death, even if you obtained the virus at the care facility. According to the New York State Department of Health spokeswoman Jill Montag, she said that the coronavirus tracker currently does not include out-of-facility deaths. Deaths of nursing home and adult care facility residents that occurred at hospitals is accounted for in the overall fatality rate on the COVID-19 tracker. So in other words, they are downgrading the number of people actually dying in nursing homes. So if you got this thing at a nursing home and then you died at a hospital, you no longer count as a nursing home death. This has created some fairly significant inconsistencies. New York reported on April 24th. There have been 644 deaths from residents of adult care facility residents who died either at the facility or at a hospital. But on May 13th, after the state ceased disclosing long-term care residents who died at hospitals, New York reported a total of 165 coronavirus confirmed and presumed deaths at adult care facilities, a reduction of 479 deaths from its disclosure 16 days prior. So that sounds a little bit like they are switching these statistics to cover up the fact that they did not take care of the nursing homes. Betsy McCoy, former Republican Lieutenant Governor of New York and current chairman of the Patient Advocacy Group Committee to Reduce Infection Deaths, told the Daily Caller New York should rejoin all the other states and resume disclosing the deaths of all long-term care patients. She said it would be a more accurate reflection of the peril at nursing homes. If you look at the accurate figures reported by other states, it's reasonable to conclude half of all deaths in the U.S. are among nursing home residents. And rather than shutting down the economy, they could have focused resources on nursing homes. Well, yes, there are some of us who have been saying this for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Meanwhile, by the way, more and more people who are not Republicans are saying that they are just not going to stick around in states that decide to shut down their entire societies this way. Joe Rogan yesterday, he said, listen, I'm in California. I've been in California for a long time. I may have to leave California.
If California continues to be this restrictive,
yeah,
I don't know if this is a good place to live. First of all, it's extremely expensive. The taxes here are ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if they really say that we can't do stand-up until 2022 or something like that, like, I might jet.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. This is silly. I don't need to be here. The only reason why I'm here is that I'm close to people like you.
Right.
A lot of my friends live here. Yeah. The store's here. But if they won't let us do the store, but we could do stand-up other places, why would we stay here?
Correct. Correct. Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports, he went on a rant yesterday. He said, you know, we were willing to lock down when you were telling us what the hell we were locking down for, but we're not going to continue to lock down when you will not inform us what you are doing.
We've done what you've asked us to do. If you're that scared still of corona, stay inside. The beds are open. It doesn't kill everybody. I get it. It's not a great option. There are no great options. But you can't just decimate the entire economy. How the f*** is that going to work? We're staying inside till there's a cure? When did that become the game? Who said we're getting the cure? That's not a guarantee. So we're just done as humans? Get the hell out of here. There's risk. We're Americans. You have to take risk.
Okay, and that, of course, is true. But you only have to take the risks you want to take. Right? Having the government protect you by telling you you must stay in your home, that does not accord with the fundamental American concept of rights. You being able to walk about safely while your neighbors are social distancing, that seems fine. But the idea that we are supposed to all lock up at home is, of course, very, very silly. By the way, there's some new information, a bunch of studies recently, suggesting that this whole school shutdown is idiotic. A recent study from Australia identified 18 cases, 9 children and 9 staff across 15 schools who had COVID-19. Only 2 of the infected children's 863 close contacts at the school became ill. There's another review published last month by the Royal College of Pediatricians and Child Health. They could not find a instance, not one, of a child passing on the virus to adults, and noted that the evidence consistently demonstrates reduced infection and infectivity of children in the transmission chain. Sweden never shut down the schools. Everybody under 16 has been going to school the entire time in Sweden. And yet we are still hearing from our politicians that if we do not continue to shut down until the end of time, that we are, what, all going to die in larger numbers? You're going to have to show me the evidence. People are being rational and reasonable about this. Okay, so how many deaths overall has the United States suffered? The answer is a lot. In mid-April, according to the Wall Street Journal, 30% more Americans died than was typical in the same period in previous months, according to a Wall Street Journal examination of federal death certificate data. The increase points to the heavy toll coronavirus has had on the United States, but it doesn't provide the exact number of deaths from COVID-19. It's difficult sort of to tell. The COVID-19 death tally from death certificates has already topped 54,000. Counts of real-time COVID-19 data from states that exceed 80,000 deaths indicate tens of thousands more certificates from the disease are yet to be tallied. The disease has hit men between the ages of 45 and 74 particularly hard, in addition to older women and blacks, according to the review. The COVID-19 deaths are far outnumbering deaths from flu, pneumonia, suicide, and other causes. COVID-19, in fact, if you look at COVID-19 state reports, you are looking at the third leading cause of deaths in the United States, March and April. It goes heart disease, cancer, COVID-19. Johns Hopkins University finds a similar trend. Between 2000 and 2018, deaths from influenza and pneumonia combined averaged about 57,000 deaths annually. Between February and May 13th alone, the preliminary counts of COVID-19 deaths already topped 54,000. All respiratory deaths, that'd be influenza, pneumonia, COVID-19, were 114,000. So we do know this thing is killing a lot of people. The question is whether it is leveling off and whether we can continue to keep the spread relatively slow while going back into society. And the answer seems to be yes, by best available evidence. All right, in just a second, we're going to be talking with Mike Garcia. He's the representative-elect in California who just won a big race, won Katie Hill's old seat. We'll talk with him momentarily. First, when you talk about your business and making sure that your business is still capable of running, you have to make sure you are as efficient about your data as possible. That means you cannot have 10 different programs, all of which are confusing. Instead, here's what you need. You need one program that really does allow you to integrate all your data. I'm talking about NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. Finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need, all in one place. You're going to save time, you're going to save money, you're going to save headaches. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will give you visibility and control so you can manage every penny with precision. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to go faster with confidence. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders, assembled a playbook of the top strategies they are using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take right now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Ben. Again, get your free guide, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Ben. That is netsuite.com/Ben, netsuite.com/Ben for your free guide and that free product tour. Make your business more efficient because you really need to at this point, netsuite.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be talking about an actual bright spot of political news. Representative-elect Mike Garcia, up-and-coming Republican, Navy veteran, just took Katie Hill's old seat in California. We'll ask him how that happened, and we'll also ask him about the future of Republicans in California. Plus, we'll have on Dr. Marty McCary from Johns Hopkins, who says it's about time to open up. Let's talk about how we do that safely and securely. All of that coming up for you. You are listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/business or text the code business to 511-511. Text business to 511-511 today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, this is Annette Benning. I'd like to tell you about a nonprofit human services organization that has been helping everyone in performing arts and entertainment for more than 130 years, the Actors Fund. The fund serves everyone in film, theater, television, music, opera, radio, and dance with programs to support a life in the arts. The fund offers emergency financial assistance in times of need, including help for those in crisis due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Services include health care and insurance counseling, housing, secondary employment, and training services and more, all to help foster stability and resiliency for the people who lift us up and brighten our days through their work, especially in times of crisis and anxiety. To learn more, please visit actorsfund.org.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So one bright spot in our political moment right now is the election of Representative-elect Mike Garcia, decorated U.S. Naval officer and pilot who flew over 30 combat missions and previously worked as an executive at Raytheon. He has now been elected to fill the seat of California's 25th congressional district after Katie Hill resigned her spot for, you know, going after, like, her entire staff. Representative-elect Garcia, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's talk about how you won this seat and the history of the seat. So the seat, I believe, was historically red, and then Katie Hill won the seat in the 2018 Democratic wave, and now you've won the seat back. How did you go about winning a seat that people thought was trending pretty blue?
Yeah, and you know, this is a very purple district. It's the representation in terms of party registration is lower for Republicans than it is Democrat, but it's about a one-third type thing. Look, we outworked them. We ran for over a year. We were inspired by what we were seeing, you know, in the district early on, and we had 500 volunteers, and it was a true grassroots campaign that you know, was in response, frankly, to the Katie Hill victory. And a lot of the folks in the district just wanted someone who was qualified, someone that has not only the military background as a patriot and hopefully citizen legislator, but, you know, someone who knows how to run a business. And in the end, you know, the message of not wanting to see our country turn into what California has become in terms of policies and taxes was the winning message.
Well, talking about, you know, California, there are a lot of us here in California who feel the state is basically a lost cause. That a lot of the purple districts have been turning blue because of the sort of vote gathering measures that the state has greenlit, and watching the governance of Gavin Newsom at the state level and the lockdown politics that have been you know, forwarded here are pretty, you know, upset at the direction of the state. What do you think is the future direction of the state of California?
Yeah, I think there's still hope, guys. And you know, we had that whole list of alibis you just mentioned, Ben, were applicable here as well. We worked through them, you know, and in the end, like I said, the true grassroots campaign with the volunteers made sure that the ballot harvesting wasn't an issue. And frankly, had we had the opportunity to go door to door, we would have done it in earnest and probably better than my opponent did. So it just requires the campaign to be a little bit better organized. We need to be more aggressive. We can't take anything for granted, and we need to outwork the opponents. But you know, having this 12-point advantage as of today is versus call it a 7 or 9-point deficit in the last cycle is a huge message. And I do believe a lot of these seats that we lost in 2018 are recoverable. People are thirsty for, you know, leaders and people who know what they're doing right now. And that's the bottom line. So with the right candidate, the right campaign, and the right message, these seats should be recovered, and we can get back to a normalcy here in California sooner rather than later.
So, Representative-elect Garcia, there's been a lot of talk in sort of Republican circles about how Republicans can better appeal to Hispanic communities, particularly in places like California. Republicans do fairly decently with Hispanics in Texas. They do really well with Hispanics in Florida. Obviously, not all Hispanics have the same political perspective or even come from the same countries or political climate. Obviously, you're Hispanic in ethnic origin. Well, what do you think the Republican Party needs to do better in terms of reaching out to Hispanics?
Yeah, what we did and what I ascribe to is, you know, our bottom line is we're all Americans. I'm proud of my Hispanic heritage on my dad's side, and I'm proud of that. We celebrate it. But in the end, we're Americans, and that's not an uncommon thing in the Latino culture, in our district especially. And when you – instead of talking about parties, and instead of it being a Republican versus Democrat conversation, we just frame it in terms of values and what we believe in, you know, low taxes, pro-life, pro-family. And when you have those conversations, people realize, hey, this is a real human being whose values align to mine. And yeah, his last name is Garcia, and he happens to be a Republican, but he's very well qualified, and this is the guy for the job. And you know, I think that's why we outperformed. And I think that's how, frankly, all Americans want to be treated, regardless of ethnicity and background.
So, Representative-elect Garcia, one of the questions that's come up fairly often in Republican politics over the past 20 years, particularly, has been this idea that we can't have moderate Republicans. If we have too many moderate Republicans, then the caucus doesn't work. And yet the sort of countervailing viewpoint is that in purple districts, you need people who are more reflective of the district, that Republicans are going to be elected that are not going to be the reddest of red Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi Republicans, Texas Republicans, that they may be more moderate on some policies, but you get the best that you can in districts like the district that you represent. What do you make of the tactics that Republicans should use in attempting to win over purple districts?
Yeah, I think as long as we continue to have our allegiances be towards the Constitution, capitalism and competition, and really do things for the right reasons, stay to our core principles, and explain to people why we feel the same or differently about certain issues. That's what folks are looking for. And we bridged a lot of gaps, and I bet you we're going to end up seeing a lot of Democrats who voted for me, not because they agreed with all of my policies and my positions on them, but because they understood who I was, where I was coming from, why I was running. And when you can recognize that, you can actually get support across the aisle. As long as folks are operating in good faith, we can see more bipartisanship. We're just not seeing it in D.C. right now because, frankly, the left has gotten so extreme that they don't want to operate negotiating good faith. So, and frankly, I think a lot of Democrats are tired of it themselves.
Well, Representative-elect Mike Garcia, it's a big piece of good news for Republicans this week, winning the California 25th district against Christy Smith fairly handily. Representative Garcia, really appreciate it and look forward to your time in Washington, D.C.
Hey, my pleasure, Ben. Thanks for having me. Be safe.
Coming up, we're going to be joined by Dr. Marty McCary, health policy advisor to President Trump and editor-in-chief of MedPage today, for his update on where he thinks the pandemic lockdowns are going. He had a great piece in the New York Times laying out what he thinks is a path toward normalcy. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In May, we're discussing how to design the perfect character and giving authors the right tools to make sure that their characters are people, not caricatures. In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing world.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts.
And don't forget to always write selfishly.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Dr. Marty McCary. He's a health policy advisor to President Trump, editor-in-chief of MedPage Today, surgeon and professor of public health policy at Johns Hopkins, and author of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare, and How to Fix It. Dr. McCary, good to talk to you again.
Good to be with you, Ben.
So let's talk about the fact that state after state seems to be moving towards some form of reopening. I'm amazed because I was informed over the last few weeks that if you even talked about reopening, then it meant that you wanted to kill grandma. But now it seems as though everybody from New York to New Jersey to Connecticut to Washington State, everybody is looking at some form of reopening, except for my city of Los Angeles. We're going to stay locked down until my great-great-grandchildren eventually are allowed to leave our house. But when we look at the lockdown policies that have been pursued, it seems like a lot of them are not particularly useful. And what I mean by that is that the attempts to lock people in their homes beyond the point at which the curve has been flattened, the question becomes, what is the goal of lockdown policies like that? And what is the countervailing evidence that if we leave our homes and we are responsible enough to wear masks and socially distance, that we're not going to see some sort of epidemic spike?
Well, look, when we were going into this pandemic, Ben, we were not really sure what we were working with. Okay, we had ideas, there were theories. We were worried about rationing medical care. And going into this thing, we threw the kitchen sink at it, right? We in the public health community asked the American people to do something extreme. We said, for now, stay at home. This is temporary. We're going into something that looks really serious. And non-essential businesses, can you put a hold on those businesses? I was a part of that call to say, let's get ready. What we're seeing in Wuhan in Italy is very concerning. We could very well be rationing care here. Okay, we did that. We did that to a degree where we avoided the massive spike and we avoided rationing care. New York came pretty darn close to rationing care. They were on the brink, but thanks to people making massive sacrifices, thousands, if not millions of lives were saved. But now what we have to do is reevaluate our strategy, okay? My thinking has evolved. Why? Not because I've changed positions or changed my mind about that policy, but because we are learning from data. The data has come in now, and it's teaching us how the virus works, how it spreads, who it affects, what's safe, what we can do. It turns out there's an association with public transit and with density and with those who are at high risk, and that certain mitigation strategies work, like wearing a mask and distancing and hygiene. We've learned all of that. So we just need to learn from the data and recognize it's not an all lockdown or all total reopen dynamic here. This is a dynamic where we can get out there and we've learned we can do things safely as long as we protect those who are at risk. We can use precautions. we can live our lives to whatever extent the local virus burden will tolerate or let us do those things. And we, you know, we get a complete do-over in the fall. So this is our chance to say, what can we learn about the virus?
Okay, so speaking of what we can learn about the virus, there's some pretty significant debate going on about things like herd immunity and the levels that are required to receive to reach herd immunity, especially because it is so obvious that there are populations that are significantly more vulnerable to this than others. I mean, 40 to 60% of deaths in Europe were happening in nursing homes, similar percentages in many states in the United States. And that has led to the question of the Swedish position, obviously, was protect the nursing homes, which they actually didn't do well enough, and then leave the schools open for people under 16 because kids are really apparently not affected very seriously by this. We're seeing a bit of a trend in New York City, something like 100 kids who are infected with who have high fevers in the aftermath of having COVID-19. I my understanding is that that's not supremely deadly, even though it is dangerous. But the strategy in Sweden was basically that they were going to allow this to spread through the society among healthy populations in order to approach herd immunity. They just weren't going to allow to basically light a wildfire and then overcome the healthcare system. And now they're not experiencing a second wave. They're actually seeing a decline in infection and death, and they never really changed their policy.
Yeah, Sweden has, I think, a strategy that we need to learn from. I don't think it was the right strategy for us, but we've got to learn from the data, and we cannot say that was wrong. Instead, we have to take lessons away from it. For example, they have, by and large, a much healthier population. Okay, people that are obese are rare in Sweden, okay? Generally speaking, it is a healthier population. We know that areas of Louisiana and parts of New York with very high comorbidities were hit really hard. And you sort of get one shot with the nursing homes, right? The long-term care, if you don't do that well the first time. We chose to do the severe mitigation as a country because we didn't know what we were working with. We didn't want a ration. And we wanted to buy time for therapeutics. And now we've got some things in the toolbox. We've got remdesivir. We've got a vaccine that's actually in motion. A vaccine, not many people realize this, has been developed and has been shown to work effectively in rhesus monkeys, the closest animal model we have to a human model. That vaccine is being now in phase 2 and phase 3 trial deployment. And it's just a matter of showing its safety and efficacy and then moving on to mass production. So Scott Gottlieb, who's a friend and I think a great authority on this, and I know he's been on your show, has suggested that we might have millions of doses out there by the end of this calendar year. So we chose to use our strategy to flatten that curve, in part also to buy time. That's what Sweden didn't do. I do like the fact that we did a lot we could to brace. It's just some of the stuff ended up being excessive, and we didn't realize that at the time, so let's be honest about it now. And let's tell people, hey, you shouldn't be in your house. You should be outdoors if you've got the property to do so or the freedom to get outdoors with distancing.
So that actually leads me to the question that I was going to ask about, you know, what we're hoping to do here, because it seems like there are a couple of different suppositions that are taking place. On the one hand, you have some people who are very skeptical about the possibility of vaccine or successful therapeutic, and they say basically if this is the new normal, then – you know, what's going to be is going to be, and the only thing we can do is prevent the overwhelming of the healthcare system, so let's front load the pain and get back to normal as fast as possible. And then there is the countervailing view, which is one that I think I'm more optimistic about. It I'm more cautious by nature. It seems to be that you're expressing this as well, that the goal here is indeed to buy time, and we should just be clear that that's what we're doing, because it seems to me that the public has not been really told the truth about what we are doing. So it seems that people think that flattening the curve means that just testing and tracing is going to make this go away, when in reality what we're really trying to do is continue to flatten the curve for two reasons. One is to, again, prevent the overwhelming of the medical system, but the other is actually the long-term, more important one, and that is to buy time for the development of a successful therapeutic or vaccine. We ought to just be clear to people that that's exactly what we're doing.
Absolutely. And those tools in the toolbox are building. So we've got convalescent plasma, a trial out of my hospital, Johns Hopkins, that's showing real good promise. Remdesivir, the vaccine, and the rhesus monkey study results. And there's a whole host of things that are not in the public domain that I can tell you look pretty promising. And, you know, yes, I understand that coronaviruses are difficult to manufacture vaccines for. We haven't done it before. But again, we've already seen that activity work in the rhesus monkeys. So we're putting everything on this. All of heaven and earth is working on this, and we're starting to see results. So I agree. I think we're doing the right thing by going about this in the way that we have. It's just we've got to evolve our strategy. And to tell people to stay at home at this point is, and to tell people in southern warmer states that they need to do the same thing that we saw in colder states, it ignores the data that this coronavirus has an association with climate. That's one of the pieces of data that we've learned. Look at the places hardest hit. They have a long cold season, Washington State, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Illinois. Look at the places where they came in well below the projections, Florida, other southern states. So I'm not saying they're safe and they need to be careful and they need to recognize that everybody can do a lot to use smart distancing and hygiene. But the reality is that there's something about that heat. The other four coronaviruses that we know about, not COVID-19, but the other four that have been floating around for years, those are all seasonal coronaviruses. Okay. Turns out this might be the fifth seasonal coronavirus. And hopefully this next season in the fall will be the last because we've got great therapeutics that are coming. But there's an association with climate. It's probably more the humidity than the heat. We know that mitigates droplet transmission, and it may is in part possibly the UV light. And it may be that in warmer areas, there are more outdoor things going on. People use the outdoors more than they do in colder areas. I'm concerned about the medical community losing credibility. If they continue to say that we need a lockdown, that, you know, no non-essential business should function, and not tailor that recommendation to an area, or recognize that we've got to shunt a ton of resources that are being used to, you know, stop somebody from planting a seed in their yard or walking on the beach, and move those resources to nursing homes to guard them and protect them like a fortress and stop this crazy policy of sending COVID-19 patients there, or not having protocols and not testing staff. I mean, staff in nursing homes should be tested twice a week, as well as the residents there. You know, Gandhi once said that a true society is best measured by how it takes care of its most vulnerable. And we missed this thing in nursing homes. Like you said, it ended up being half of the deaths in New Jersey and a third nationwide or more.
So let's talk for a second about the question of schools. There's been some widespread concern over reopening schools. The Dr. Fauci suggested that September we might not be able to reopen schools. Obviously, President Trump is a lot more sanguine about the possibility of reopening schools. There have been several studies that have been done abroad that suggest that kids are not only not really getting this at high rates, but that they are really not transmitting it at high rates. There was a study from Iceland that suggested that they couldn't find a single case of a child transmitting this to an adult. There's another study, I believe it's in Austria, that suggested something like 2 transmissions in 15 schools from a child to an adult, so it's actually pretty rare. What do you make of the evidence when it comes to schools and whether schools should reopen? And also, what do you make of the idea that we're going to be reopening schools only when there is social distancing, which seems to me like I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. You cannot socially distance 6-year-olds and 4-year-olds. That is not a physical possibility.
Right, exactly. Well, those studies you mentioned are interesting. I think we should take note of it. I think that on the flip side, most coronaviruses and most viruses in general do spread among children. But we got to look at the overall data, right? The case fatality rate in kids approaches that of viral meningitis or the regular seasonal flu in kids. So the idea that we have to, you know, take extreme measures in society to save one life, which is a child's life, sounds attractive. And in fact, you and I and everybody agree with that. The problem is that if those measures are so extreme that they are costing many other lives far more than the lives that we're saving, it ends up being a Pyrrhic victory. And so I think we've got to just be a little smart. Look, we've got a total do-over with this virus. We're going to go into the months of September and October, and this thing could, hopefully it won't, maybe there'll be a miracle, but it is projected to come back, potentially confounded by influenza, which we could have a mild, medium, or severe influenza year next season. We don't know. And we're going to be going into this with not just a third of the cold season, which is what we had this wave, right? All of the coronavirus stuff we've gone through has been with only 1/3 of our cold season. Imagine we've got an entire cold season. So there is risk, and I'm not saying it's a fate that we're pegged to. It's something that we can change with hygiene and distancing. We will have that infrastructure set up for testing, which is, as you said, more helpful in the early stages of a pandemic rather than the middle and later stages. So we'll be going into this thing in the fall with a big toolbox. But I think during this time, we just need to think about what is the risk in your particular area. And if that risk is manageable, we take the appropriate precautions. You know, some places can go full steam ahead. Other schools, you know, I might suggest they reopen, but maybe hold off on the big field trips that they don't need to take this particular year. Restaurants and retail, go ahead and open. Maybe they can use more of their outdoor space than they normally would. Maybe if the viral burden in their community is high, maybe they use some distancing, limit the number of folks, have non-touchless transactions, and use more of that outdoor space. Maybe stadiums tell people at risk to hold off for now for this particular season if the viral burden is that high at the time of those games. So I think we can be out there and be active with some limitations without shutting down our entire lifestyle and country.
I'm Dr. Marty McCary, health policy advisor to President Trump. You can check out his op-ed this week in the New York Times. Check out his book as well, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Dr. McCary, really appreciate your time.
Great to be with you, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the ACLU, which no longer stands for Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. It just stands for kind of normal leftist tripe. We'll get to that momentarily. First, let's talk about how you make your business stronger. You need to be as efficient as humanly possible these days when it comes to your business. That means being on top of your data. And the best way to be on top of your data, you need NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. We're talking finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need all in one place so you save time, money, and headaches. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will give you visibility.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Collection efforts. Remove any liens the IRS has in place and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/headline or text the code headline to 511-511. Text headline to 511-511 today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
So remember that time when the ACLU stood for the idea that you have civil rights no matter your political perspective? Remember that time when they stood for the idea that people had a right to due process and a right to free speech? Not anymore. I'm old enough to remember when the ACLU was sort of the de facto organization for, I may disagree with what you say, but you have every right to say it. Now the ACLU's message is, if we don't like you, then we are going to sue you. So then you've just become like every other left-wing legal agitprop association. Here's the latest indicator. According to NBC News, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos's revised federal guidelines on how sexual assault allegations should be handled on college and K-12 campuses are the target of a federal lawsuit filed Thursday, claiming that the changes would inflict significant harm on victims and dramatically undermine their civil rights. The suit, filed on behalf of four advocacy groups for people who have been sexually assaulted, is the first that seeks to block the Education Department's new provisions before they go into effect on August 14th. The rules championed by DeVos effectively bolster the rights of due process for those accused of sexual assault and harassment, allowing for live hearings and cross-examinations. It's what agency officials say was lacking during the Obama administration to protect all students under Title IX. And by the way, federal courts had said the same. Federal courts had said that the Obama-era rules on Title IX, that basically said if you're accused, you can't confront your accuser, you can't cross-examine your accuser, you have to take the allegations as factually true, that those rules did not meet with the requirements of due process. So Betsy DeVos changed the rules to meet with the requirements of due process. Now, the ACLU is filing a lawsuit against due process. The suit, filed in the U.S. District Court in Maryland by the ACLU and Strook, Strook & Levin, LLP, says this new federal effort to weaken Title IX makes it more difficult for victims of sexual harassment or sexual assault to continue their educations and needlessly comes amid a global pandemic. So the ACLU has now completely shifted its perspective. The suit, according to Ria Tobacco Marr, director of the ACLU Women's Rights Project, challenges Title IX regulations that will redefine sexual misconduct in narrower terms as misconduct so severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive that it denies a person equal access to the school's education program or activity. Tobacco Marr argued it created a double standard for how schools must treat sexual discrimination complaints compared to how they handle allegations of racial, national origin, and disability discrimination. Well, actually, no, that's just what sexual harassment law has always been, severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive. It can't just be you perceive something as bad and now we ban students. But the key here is not even the argument, because the argument's bad. The key here is that the ACLU is pursuing this argument, which just demonstrates how the left's perspective on rights themselves has shifted. It used to be that the left in America relied on the grid, on the framework of rights in order to make its arguments. So the ACLU used to say, listen, we may not like Nazis marching through Skokie, but American rights mean that you somehow, sometimes you have to just suck it up and understand that people who suck have the same rights that you do, and they will exercise them in ways you don't like. But so long as they're not punching you in the face, that is not a violation of your rights. The ACLU used to stand up for the proposition that rights were non-discriminatory, that rights themselves were a good that everybody had, that inalienable rights were a like the ACLU agreed with the right on this and with libertarians on this. Now the ACLU has bought into the left-wing trope that rights are inherently unequal, that the right to free speech is unequal and bad. Why? Because the right to free speech might offend some people. Because there are more powerful people and less powerful people, and so if everyone has the right to free speech, the people who are most likely to benefit from the right to free speech are the people who are the most powerful. Right? It's this bizarre version of rights that you see sort of imitated by crazy people like Sarah Rao when she will have white privilege sessions at people's dining room tables and tell the white people to shut up, and people will pay her for this privilege. Because she'll say, well, you don't get to talk because of your privilege. This is what you see on college campuses a lot. This idea that any right that is equally applied can never actually be equal. It is actually an application of inequality and a deepening of inequality. Same thing with economic rights. If we say you have property rights, that only helps people who are more rich. That only helps people with property. True property rights would be removing rights to property for people who are more powerful and richer and giving them to people who have less power and are poorer. Now, understand that's no longer a right. That is now a redistributive, coercive tactic. But that's what the ACLU is now standing for. They're basically saying due process should be redistributed. Due process, which used to be a right for everybody. And whether you were rich or poor, you got due process. Whether you were black or white, you got due process. This is what the ACLU used to stand for. Male or female, due process. Now the ACLU says, if we have due process, it could hurt women who have to confront their accuser. And therefore, we need to have no due process for men, but yes, due process for women. This is the end of any semblance of an American polity. You cannot have a country where the rights do not equally apply. You cannot have a country where we decide how the law applies based on race, sex, or class. If you do that, it's no longer law. Now it is just an arbitrary metric of which groups are in power politically. By the way, it was really bad when people used to apply law unequally. I think we were all in agreement on that, correct? Jim Crow was evil. Laws applied unequally to men and women, evil. And yet now you have the ACLU openly stumping for that. Oh, but it's pretty incredible, and it demonstrates the mentality shift that has happened in this country. I talk about all this at length in my new book, How to Destroy America in Three Easy Steps, that's going to be coming out in the end of July. But it is, again, indicative of a mindset shift that is incredibly dangerous for the future of the country. Well, we will see you back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Hope you have a wonderful and at least somewhat relaxing weekend. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. Democrats powered a massive $3 trillion coronavirus bill through the Senate, through the House, that is, over Republican opposition.
On this vote, the yeas are 208 and the nays are 199. The HEROES bill is passed.
Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee presiding over the House at the vote. Meanwhile, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the bill is packed with funding for left-wing issues that have nothing to do with the coronavirus.
This bill has more references to cannabis industry in it than it does to jobs. Even though it is jobs, not dispensaries, that are going up in smoke. Millions of more dollars earmarked for the National Endowment for the Arts. That won't stop China from hacking our companies and universities who are working towards a vaccine.
The measure has no chance of passing the GOP-controlled Senate. Already has drawn a White House veto threat. Retail sales plunged again in April as businesses feel the pain of the shutdown.
The Commerce Department says after a record drop of more than 8% in March, retail sales set another dismal record, falling more than 16% in April. Columbia University Business School retail analyst Mark Cohen says with tens of millions of people out of a job, their buying habits have radically changed.
Consumer preferences have shifted to needs completely away from wants. Consumers are going to be enormously damaged, depending on the duration of this crisis.
Cohen expects the retail economy to be depressed for a year or more. I'm Tim McGuire.
President Trump fired Steve Linnick, the State Department's Inspector General, an Obama administration appointee whose office was critical of alleged political bias in the agency's management. More at townhall.com.
Gold. It's soaring. Are you missing it? If you have an IRA or 401k, you probably are. Less than 1% hold physical gold. We've been told by Wall Street it's for crazy people. Really? What's crazy about an asset that beats stocks 2-1? I'm Adam Baratta, national best-selling author of the book Gold is a Better Way, owner of Advantage Gold, an Inc. 5000 member, and highest-rated gold IRA firm in the world. Gold is booming because gold is really about debt, and global debt is a pandemic. If you have an IRA or 401k, I want to give you my book for free. That's right, free. Text GOLD to 49776. That's the word GOLD to 49776. Learn why gold will outperform pumped-up stocks from this point forward. Turn your IRA into a wealth growth machine. Text the word GOLD to 49776. It's time to stop being crazy. Text GOLD to 49776.
Germany's plunged into a recession after suffering its steepest quarterly contraction since the 2009 financial crisis.
This sharp reduction in activity for Europe's largest economy follows a much smaller fall in the final 3 months of 2019. Two consecutive quarters of decline is a recession, as the term is often defined. The weakness this year reflects the official restrictions and personal and business choices that have been made in an attempt to limit the impact of the pandemic. Those effects were concentrated right at the end of the three-month period, so it's likely that the data for the quarter now underway will show a further and probably much larger contraction.
That's the BBC's Andrew Walker reporting. Five sailors on the aircraft carrier sidelined in Guam due to COVID-19 have gotten the virus for a second time and have been taken off the ship. The resurgence of the virus in the sailors on the USS Theodore Roosevelt underscores the befuddling behavior of the highly contagious virus. More at townhall.com. A second factory to manufacture Teslas in the United States is in the works.
A person briefed on the matter says Tesla has picked Austin, Texas, and Tulsa, Oklahoma as finalists for its new U.S. assembly plant. The person says company officials visited Tulsa in the past week and were shown two sites. It wasn't clear if there were any other finalists in the mix. The person didn't want to be identified because the site selection process is secret. The electric car maker has said it wants the factory to be in the center of the country. The stakes are high. Tesla Company has said the plant will be larger than its California factory that employs 10,000 workers. Keith Peters reporting.
When the Inn at Little Washington, about 90 minutes west of the nation's capital, reopens later this month, it'll place mannequins decked out in 1940s fashions propped up at some tables. It'll be giving some ambiance while obeying guidelines. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
I found the most remarkable thing from the media yesterday was probably John Brennan, who is now an NBC employee, saying that he was shocked to find there's corruption going on at the highest levels of government. Oh, boy. Funny out there, isn't it? You know, all the culprits have been hired by major news organizations to be their mouthpieces. The villains of the story are in the employ of CNN and MSNBC. They have network pulpits from which to spread the lie, to cover their tracks. The corrupt networks have actually hired the bad guys. It's like Haldeman and Ehrlichman have been hired by CBS and ABC to tell what happened during Watergate. And the media likes this. They're good with this. They're so far gone. They're going to need therapy. They're going to need re-education camps. They will not get them. The rest of us may, but they won't. Well, good Friday to you, and welcome. Another Friday in the age of the Wuhan Red Death. We're all still grounded because mom and dad are mad. Varying degrees of lunacy across the country. In fact, 11 states are moving today toward opening up more and more. And we can call that progress, because it is progress. And in fact, if you look at the map, the news media is rankled by this. I saw one of the clowns this morning. They had a map of the country, and every state is lit up into one degree or another in getting back to business, except for New York. And even New York is getting back. Connecticut and Massachusetts and New Jersey, they're not doing anything. They're still on total lockdown. In large part, that's the hot zone, because the Democrat political leadership there, like Baby Doc Cuomo and Big Bird de Blasio, and de Blasio's health commissioner, who's the anti-cop person, you see. De Blasio has called on his health commissioner to apologize, not to resign or go to prison, but to apologize for saying that she wouldn't give the NYPD personal protective equipment, you know, masks. She wouldn't give the NYPD wanted 500,000 masks, and she basically told them to go screw themselves. And I don't give two rat's asses is what she said. She's the public official in the de Blasio administration. And that's okay, because they're anti-police, you know, they're anarchists, I guess, communists, something like that. We'll get into a bit of that with the Democrats in New York, but this hot zone, they're still not closing it. And that's where, you know, they had more than 5,400 people die in nursing homes alone, in New York alone, all right? About 10 times the number of people that died in Japan, which is a nation. And interestingly, somehow it's not Baby Doc Cuomo's fault, even though he ordered the nursing homes to take people who were testing positive for the COVID-19. He ordered them. It's a state order. You know, they're very draconian, these people, very ham-handed and iron-booted. And they ordered the nursing homes to take in people with COVID-19, tested positive. And then more than 5,400 people died in these nursing homes. And in Florida, on the other hand, it's very much under control. And the news media is yelling at Florida and the Republican governor there, Ron DeSantis, for being a terrible person. Well, they're having a much better experience there for a whole lot of reasons, much less tragic experience than New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, and New York City in particular, with de Blasio and his health commissioner telling everybody to get out and ride the subway and go to the Chinese festival in February. And, oh, it's Tet. You know, they're still celebrating what they think was a big victory for the North Vietnamese in the Vietnam War. It wasn't. They had the floor mopped with them in the Tet Offensive. But setting that aside, so many states are opening up, but the real hot box is still the upper Northeast and the de Blasio, Baby Doc Cuomo, and Connecticut, because they, you know, you look at what their political leaders did and what they said. News media is not looking at this, of course, and it's quite an extraordinary set of circumstances that we're dealing with here. Listen, we got the Wuhan. We also have the corrupt, the Obama gate. You see, Obama, honestly, they got to have somebody's got to go to prison over this stuff, and it should be a news media person. At least one news media person should go to prison over this too. Lots of updates on that. A lot of updates on that, and all kinds of craziness from the media people. They're just not on our side, and more importantly, they're not on the side of the maybe not more importantly, they're not on the side of the United States. They're not on the side of the American people. But more importantly, they're not on the side of the truth, this crazy thing that we used to revere in the United States. We used to call it the truth. Now it's kind of hard to find. But listen, a lot to get to. You'll find it here. I mean, I'll tell you that much. That's my only goal. I don't care whether they're Republican or Democrat, quite honestly. If the truth needs to be told on them, the truth needs to be told on them. China, which is run by communists, you know, like the guy that shot John F. Kennedy in the head that day. China, the commies there, they're now threatening Republicans in the United States and threatening to tamper with or disrupt our election. The Chinese are, and it's not a news story. It's very, you know, all that Russian meddling and all the commies, and look, Putin's a commie too. Don't kid yourself. And the people in his inner circle, they're commies too. They're all commies. They're Soviet commies. You remember Putin said that perhaps the greatest tragedy of the 20th century was the collapse of the Soviet Union. He's a commie through and through, and he's messing with stuff. You remember. Yesterday, I played audio. Who was it? James Clapper saying that these Trump people, they were talking to Russia, our number one adversary.
And I sort of laughed. I said, isn't that what Mitt Romney was laughed off the stage for saying when he was debating Barack Obama? And I got to know, not Al-Qaeda, no, Russia, our number one geostrategic threat. And they mocked him, and they all laughed. In the news media, they all laughed. And now Clapper comes on TV and casually throws out that Russia is our number one adversary. And the news media has no memory of this or something, a lot of brain damage in the thing. It's extraordinary. But they're commies, and you can't trust commies. Did I mention we're at 888-630-9625, off to the races already. 888-630-9625. Is the telephone number here. And now the commies in China, they lied to the world and to the World Health Organization and to the United States about the Wuhan, the virus coming out of Wuhan, and they misled and they gobbled up all of the PPE, the personal protective equipment, masks and gloves, and all over the world. And including here, they were buying it up here, and they were stealing it all and hoarding it because they're commies, and they murder everybody. That's their hallmark thing, is that they kill everybody and run people over with tanks and crush their little heads with tank treads and things like that. That's okay with the Democrats, though. The Chinese state media ominously threatens GOP lawmakers, hints at Election Day impact. And the news media is completely disinterested in this. It's quite remarkable. GNN, which is just apparently in the pocket of the commies. It's funny. It's a big American corporation. And they just grovel and snivel to the communists, and they hate America and Republicans who are pro-constitution and freedom and liberty and things like that. So that China, and they're targeting what they call GOP hawks. This is, I have the Chinese article, it's in English, but from the Global Times, the Chinese communists, they're targeting Republicans here in the United States and threatening them with Election Day consequences. And the Democrat media is not going to say a word about this because they're thinking they'll take the help, you know. If the communists in China, who kill everybody and spread the virus and lie about it, are going to help the Democratic Party, then the media is not going to interfere. That's, come on, they're not on our side. Eugene Robinson, Froggy, I think his friends call him Froggy, like on Spanky and our gang, he's Froggy. And he says that the United States is a country to be pitied because we've handled the Wuhan so badly and it's all our fault, not the communists, not the lying communist bastards in China. They're the good guys in the story. They're innocent victims of the United States somehow. This is how tortured and twisted Eugene Robinson's former brain has gotten, and he's goose-stepping along with the rest of the phony, corrupt news media as well. And also the National Institutes of Health beginning a trial, an expanding trial, to determine the effectiveness of the hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin combo, you know, the Z-Pak and chloroquine combo. And speaking of which, how's that lady in Arizona that the news media loves so much? And then she fed her husband the fish tank cleaner, and he died. And the news media blamed Trump. And then it became a homicide investigation, and the media stopped talking about it because it doesn't serve the interests of the party. Which party, you might ask? Well, you know, the party here, the DNC, which is a commie. It's basically a commie party. It's a socialist party. They're not a pro-American party. John F. Kennedy is on a rotisserie in his grave up at Arlington National Cemetery, knowing what the Democrat Party has become, an absolute disgrace to Western civilization. We got some funny thing. This reality TV guy got millions of dollars from us, the American taxpayers. He's a rapper. You'll never guess what he did with the cash. It's kind of amusing, and in its own special way, in a really corrupt, you know, liberal Democrat sort of way, just stealing whenever they can steal, because they're the left. They have no integrity. If they did, they wouldn't be lefties. The Aspen Institute, speaking of lefties, a bunch of lefties run a fake think tank called the Aspen Institute, and they use lots of other people's money to have conferences where they tell each other that they're smart. And then they go on CNN and say things that are crazy, and they all agree with each other. I think that's the purpose of the Aspen Institute, their mission statement. They took $8 million in taxpayer money from the U.S. taxpayer, from the middle class. They have, you know, an endowment from they have billionaires on their board falling through the ceiling tiles, and yet they're stealing money from the middle class, from hardworking Americans who can barely afford to, at this point, even put food on the table. And the Democrats make sure to not make it, you don't want to get your job back. They want to make sure that you're angry on election day is really what they want. It's extraordinary. So lots of updates there. And also on Obamagate, President Trump wants the FBI's original 302 forms. The 302s are the forms that FBI agents write up after they conduct an interview, like the ambush they conducted of General Flynn. And the original 302s, we know that they said that they believed General Flynn was telling the truth, and then they altered the 302 because they're like a banana republic at the FBI. They wear Carmen Miranda hats around the FBI headquarters, and they speak in tongues. They honestly, it's not, they don't even speak English at FBI headquarters anymore. And it's just extraordinary stuff. And James Comey, we have updates on this. You know, there was that White House meeting with Barack Obama in the Oval Office and J. Edgar Comey and all these crooks. And it was on January 5th of 2017. A couple of weeks before Inauguration Day, long after President Trump had won the election and Hillary Clinton had lost. This really rattled the left because, you know, nobody was going to even look into any of this this stuff. And James Comey, turns out it was the day after. I mean, I guess I could have checked this out before. But it was a January 5th meeting in the Oval Office with Obama and Comey and Biden. And it was the next day, January 6th, that Comey went to corruptly misinform, mislead the president-elect at Trump Tower in New York with the Hillary Clinton opposition research dossier filled with a significant amount of Russian intelligence disinformation, which was fed into the American political bloodstream by Comey and Hillary really a bunch of them at the FBI, Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr, his wife, who worked coincidentally for Fusion GPS. And Fusion GPS was meeting with Veselinskaya, the Russian lawyer that the news media has made out to be some sort of a Kremlin agent. If she is a Kremlin agent, she has very close ties to the Hillary Clinton campaign and Fusion GPS, who ordered and paid for, they were one of the buffers, like the Corleone family, for the Clinton campaign to Russian intelligence to feed the disinformation into the U.S. political bloodstream. It worked very well for quite a while. And now that the truth is being found out, the media is dead set against the truth. It's quite remarkable. Jennifer Rubin at the fake Washington Post, it looks like a newspaper, but it's not. Her theme is the walls are closing in. She's got the old walls are closing in thing. Anybody remember the walls closing in during the Russia investigation? The phony, baloney, contrived, made-up, corrupt intelligence operation being run by the Democratic Party against the Republican presidential candidate? Anybody remember that? The walls closing in. Oh, and of course, Joe Biden. Boy, his brain just doesn't work. I've got great audio for you and all kinds of developments from the Parkland High School. You remember the mass shooting there? The ACLU? Gosh, I've got a lot of good stuff. Stay right there.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Chris Plant here. In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your family? For my personal protection, I recommend training at Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility located near Las Vegas, Nevada. And due to our relationship with Front Sight founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, I've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. Enter frontsight.com/Chris to secure a $2,000 $1,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter FROMTSIGHT.com/Chris. After your first course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population guaranteed. Nobody does it better than Front Sight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at FrontSight.com/Chris. C-H-R-I-S. See you at Front Sight.
At CDW, we get modern servers need to be flexible.
Flexible, scalable, and predictable. I predicted you'd say that.
Okay, what would I say next?
Probably something about server security.
Impressive and freaky. CDW can implement secure Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Gen 10 servers that improve speed and performance while reducing costs.
Be predictable.
IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it.
I predict a web address.
CDW.com/HPE.
I'm in your mind, man.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. During the challenging times we're all experiencing, our top priority is the health and safety of the communities we serve. And while it's true that things are changing rapidly every day, one thing that'll never change is our commitment to giving you the best mortgage experience. At Rocket Mortgage, our guiding philosophy of every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, exists for times like right now. We understand that hardships may arise, and we're prepared to help. If you currently work with us and need assistance with your mortgage, contact us 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. As we all think about ways to save money, let me remind you that mortgage rates are near historic lows. If you think right now is the right time to refinance your mortgage, our home loan experts are available to help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at rocketmortgage.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The news media told us for years during the Russia investigation, the phony hoax Russia collusion story, big lie created by Obama in the Oval Office and Biden, and the intelligence community and the FBI, the greatest abuse of the surveillance state in the history of Western civilization in all probability, not just the United States. But they kept telling us the walls are closing in for ages, for ages. And now this is great. Fox News has the headline today. Washington Post's Jennifer Rubin, she has only gums, mocked for repeatedly claiming, quote, the walls are closing in on Trump. And it turns out Jennifer Rubin, she's supposed to be one of the Republican typists at the Washington Post. Complete joke. And, I mean, she makes Mitt Romney look like Ronald Reagan. Washington Post columnist Jennifer Rubin was mocked on Thursday for repeating her claim that the, quote, walls are closing in, end quote, on President Trump. Rubin is, of course, an MSNBC contributor. They pay her hundreds of thousands to be a fake conservative and to attack Republicans while claiming to be one. That's the key to success in cable news. The walls are closing in on Trump's lawless presidency, she said. The problem is that she's been saying this in article after article going back to 2017. The walls are closing in again and again and again, and the walls never close in. In fact, Jennifer, you know, check your gums. The walls are closing in on Obama at this point, and the corrupt Obama. And we, you know, Michael Piercy put together a little montage to remind us, soundbite number nine yesterday, of the Democrats. They love this walls are closing in theme.
Be sure to check out my newest column for the Daily Beast entitled The Political Walls Are Closing In on Donald Trump.
Bob Mueller's investigation. He feels the walls closing in on him.
Joe. Every single day, it feels as if the walls are closing in here.
Donald Trump feels the walls closing in.
This is a guy who feels like the walls are closing in.
Walls are closing in.
The walls are closing in.
Not again.
This is the beginning of the end for the Trump
administration. How far apart are these walls?
I think the walls are closing in on him.
This as the walls are closing in at the White House.
I think Trump sees the political walls closing in on him, and so who knows what he's likely to do.
That's Brennan.
Donald Trump is a racist, but he's using racism as a distraction from the fact that the impeachment walls are closing in on
him.
Well,
that was a good combo pack right there.
As the walls continue,
kill your children. Yeah, the walls are closing in. Now, I mean, that's, of course, the opposite of the truth, and Jennifer Rubin, I think, is not very bright to begin with. But she's very corrupt, and she's a fraud. She's not a journalist. She's not a conservative. She's not a Republican. She's a fake.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery. Curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
This is Ted Leidy with Modern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Yeah, the walls are closing in. In fact, we had Sig Heilemann, you know Sig Heilemann of MSDNC. His buddy is Gropey McGropeface, Mark Halperin. He's part of the cover-up, Sig Heilemann. He said the walls are literally closing in on Trump, literally. They don't know what these words mean. They literally, they're journalists for a living, and their entire adult lifetimes are dedicated to serving the interests of the Democratic Party and the international left. And they don't learn words. They don't know what words mean along the way. It's really quite remarkable. Let's go to some Lunch Bucket Joe. We are at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Washington Post says we're a country to be pitied because Trump, something like that. But I will get to that, and it's a town without pity, something like that. This town is certainly a town without pity. Bunch of lefty miscreants. There'd be mass graves around here if they were left to their own devices. Let's go to Lunch Bucket Joe was being fluffed last night by one of his closest buddies, who is a socialist. He's basically a communist. He's Lawrence O'Donnell. And, you know, American socialists, they're all millionaires. And that's why they're socialists, because they're just hacks. All right, let's go to, Dave, let's go to soundbite number one, numero uno, as the DNC says. This is Lawrence O'Donnell, and this is a couple of years ago now. He was on with his pals Morning Joke, the little circle fest with the Lucite desk and Joke and his flotation device of a bimbo wife, who, if she had a brain, would be out in the street playing with it. And here's Lawrence O'Donnell explaining his politics.
Unlike you, I am not a progressive. I am not a liberal who's so afraid of the word that I had to change my name to progressive.
I'm not either.
Liberals amuse me. I am a socialist. I live to the extreme left.
Right.
The extreme left of you mere liberals, okay?
Bulldozing bodies into pits is a stated goal in his college yearbook. Let's go to somebody. That's why I just want to set the stage, because that's who Joe Biden did his interview with. Okay, and he gets fluffed and he doesn't ask it. I mean, it's like a member of the Politburo being interviewed by Pravda or Izvestia or TASS during the Soviet days. It's like official Chinese Communist Party state media interviewing Xi Jinping on GNN. You know, Xi Jinping. A ricochet rabbit. How did a rabbit gain control of all of China? So GNN is not going to tell you the truth about anything, but we'll get to them later. Let's go to Larry O'Donnell. He's, you know, stop the hammering. You know, he's the stop the hammering guy, Larry O'Donnell. He's a lunatic. He's a mental case. He's a proud socialist, millionaire, of course, American. He's all kinds of things I can't say here. But he's also a fluffer, which I can say here, for the DNC and the left and for Joe Biden. So Joe Biden says, I'll do, Boy in the Plastic Bubble, John Travolta from my basement with Lawrence O'Donnell, because I know he's not going to ask me anything tough about anything, about Tara Reid, about me unmasking General Flynn days before Inauguration Day. He's not going to give me a hard time. He's gonna. It's just like their buddies sitting in the backyard spitballing, talking about how they cheat on their wives. You know, the usual Democrat Party stuff. Here is Lawrence O'Donnell with his only question about General Flynn, and I think it was his last question, wasn't it? And this is what you get when you're Joe Biden. This is why they go on with these fluffers, because they know you ran over a group of school children on the way to the interview today. Why did they get in your way is kind of the approach they take. Here's Lawrence O'Donnell fluffing his pal Joe Biden.
What was your involvement in the investigation of Michael Flynn and the FBI investigation of Michael Flynn?
I was never a part or had any knowledge of any criminal investigation into Flynn while I was in office, period. Not one single time.
Period. Let's get one more question in here. This is from a voter in California.
That's it. See, that was it. That was the whole thing. That was it. It is like the Soviet stinking union. These people are filth. Lawrence O'Donnell is just a, oh my God, I mean, get the knee pads. What a clown. All right. And that was it. You've got a rape allegation against you, and you've got the biggest political scandal, Obamagate, in the history of the country, perhaps. Teapot Dome was a joke. Watergate was nothing compared to this. This is the abuse of the surveillance state, of the intelligence apparatus, of law enforcement, of the FISA courts, misleading, deceiving, planting articles to advance their agenda and with their friends in the news media. It's so broad and vast. The problem is that the corrupt actors are the Washington Post and the New York Times getting the illegal leaks and their felony leaking classified information and for political purposes, felony. And that's okay, but CNN is so in the tank, it's not even funny, and NBC and for that matter, the rest of them too. But it is just so extraordinary. He's got rape allegations against him, and he's in the middle of this perfectly credible Tara Reid rape allegations, and there's just nothing. And then he's in the middle of this, you're unmasking. He didn't even use the word unmask in the fake question. It's the Soviet stinking union. Didn't even ask. And where's the follow-up? They're just lynching General Flynn like they lynched Brett Kavanaugh, like they lynched Nick Sandman of Covington Catholic, like they're lynching President Trump day after day and have been doing for years. This is not a legitimate Fourth Estate. It's not a legitimate news media. Let's go to the next soundbite, number three. Here's Joe Biden. He's asked, well, would you pardon, because some lefty, they've got people coming in by video. It's like a Zoom thing with the socialists, O'Donnell, and the moron, brain-damaged Joe Biden, who doesn't know what month it is. and they could stump him with that, but they don't. And there's no follow-up. There's no use of the word unmask. There's no discussion of the released lists. There is no discussion of what's going on with the Flynn case in court. None of it completely whitewashed by these Caucasians. And then they say, you know, you remember recently, not so long ago, they were the media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, were up in arms saying that President Trump, they want to indict President Trump for a fabricated story. It's what the left does all over the world to their political enemies, just by the way. And now the left is here and Obama brought it here. And now we're a banana flipping republic, too, thanks to Barack Obama and this gang of corrupt people, J. Edgar Comey and penitentiary face Brennan and nitwits like Biden and the rest. But we'll get into that. Listen, they said that President Trump, they talked to all their legal experts who are corrupt Obama administration officials, the most corrupt administration in history, and they say, well, you can't indict the president while he's in office, but the moment he leaves office, he can be indicted for crimes committed while in office or before he was in office. And they were all high-fiving it. Oh, thank God. So now we just got to get him out of office and make Lunch Bucket Joe be the winner on Election Day, these horrible charlatans. And then we can indict Trump for something that he didn't do. But that doesn't matter. So now he's asking, will you pardon Trump? This is some guy coming in by video on Zoom or Skype or whatever, says, would you consider not pardoning? And what he's asking him, he's saying, will you please promise that you will not pardon? You will not pardon President Trump like Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon. You have to promise that you won't do that. And Joe is, I think, confused.
Would you be willing to commit to not pulling a President Ford and giving Donald Trump a pardon under the pretense of healing the nation? In other words, are you willing to commit to the American ideal that no one is above the law?
Absolutely, yes. I commit.
Pardoning him for what? What, Russian collusion? What, pardon for, oh, the emoluments clause? Yeah, that's these guys are really something. He's now see, again, these questions are coming in by video, and they've got they don't let them do it live because they're corrupt. They have to stack the deck, NBC, MSNBC. So they have people send in the video questions, and then they edit them and decide which ones they're going to use. And they explained this to Joe, and that was Joe responding to a videotaped question. Now, here's another videotaped question that Larry, the socialist, tells him to look at. And Joe forgets that they're pre-recorded snippets and that the guy's not live. So he's talking to the pre-recorded tape, thinking that it's live.
This first question, Mr. Vice President, is from a voter in California. Let's listen to this.
Okay.
Hi, Vice President Biden. My name is Navid.
Hi.
I am from San Mateo, California, and thank you so much for allowing me to participate in this town hall with you.
He talks to the newspaper, too. He talks back to the television. He should be watching golf. He should be driving around the villages in a golf cart with a drink in his cup holder. He shouldn't be bothering the country. You wouldn't let him keep the remote control in your living room. You wouldn't let him drive to the store. And you certainly shouldn't let him be commander-in-chief of the United States of America. And then they asked another throwaway question. It's probably one of the people's. About Tara Reid, who has accused him of a sexual assault that has been described as rape, and it does involve digital penetration. I apologize for the turn of phrase, but it's Joe Biden. He's their candidate, and they depend on us not saying this stuff, and that's how they get away with it, because, you know, the fix is in. So here's the Tara Reid. He's asked about Tara Reid. Tara Reid has accused you of rape, of sexual assault. She was a staffer. She actually worked for you. It's not like Christine Blasey Ford, all made up and stuff. Here's Lunch Bucket Joe. Here's what he said. If you believe her, see, what he's saying is don't believe the women, okay? Believe the patriarchy. Believe the septuagenarian Caucasian millionaire class and their front man in this case, and completely ignore the women. Don't believe the women. Whatever they say, they're lying. I'm telling the truth.
This is not a moment for excuses or deflections or blame game. We're said, we're in the middle of a pandemic that had cost us more than $85,000.
Pause this. I'm sorry, Dave. I apologize. You're right. I was setting up the wrong thing, and it's entirely my fault. Let's go. Let's start this over again, because this is one of my favorite ones. This is I apologize. That's entirely my error. This is Joe Biden being asked about the Wuhan Red Death. Now, his son, of course, has this big highfalutin job in China, kind of like the big highfalutin job in Ukraine, which, you know, Burisma, which the news media has just swept completely under the rug. $83,300 a month for Joe Biden's son and Joe Biden's son's friend, and for a no-show job because his name is Biden. And the news media just swept that under the rug completely. So here it is. Here's Biden talking about the Wuhan Red Death, and he gets everything wrong. We've had, according to which count, more than 80,000 Americans die of the Wuhan Red Death from China, and we've lost millions of jobs. But Joe is very, very confused.
This is not a moment for excuses or deflections or blame game. We're in the middle of a pandemic that had cost us more than 85,000 jobs as of today.
Yeah.
Lives of millions of people. Millions of jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and we're in a position where, you know, we just got new unemployment insurance this morning, numbers. 36.5 million claims since this crisis began.
He's their guy, all right? He's their pick. He's the best one they've got. They surveyed the land. You know, where, oh, where is he? They looked at their governors. They looked at their lieutenant governors. They looked at their senators. They looked at all of their politicians. They looked at business leaders. They looked at Michael Bloomberg. They called Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset. I just threw that in there for good measure. And then they ended up with Joe Biden. And he thinks that there have been 85,000 jobs lost and millions of people have died, okay? And that we got the new health insurance numbers today. The guy is, he's not home, okay? You know, hello, McFly. McFly. He is, he's just not there. You're going to have to send Biff in. All right, let's, and you may remember Joe Biden a while back. He was on the campaign trail, and he was, this is when he was still out moving around and not in his basement, and he wasn't sure what office he was running for.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other Biden.
Yeah, you vote for the other Biden. Yeah, okay. Is there another Biden running? What? And this is all okay. See, the news media is all right. They're okay with the Tara Reid digital penetration. They're okay with the unmasking days before Inauguration Day. They're okay with him lying about everything. In fact, they help him. They set up the lie and they carry it across the goal line for him. Just extraordinary stuff. All right, and now I apologize for my earlier error. The Tara Reid questioning, this is the Tara Reid questioning. He's like, hey, you know, look, if you believe her, why would you vote for me?
Well, I think they should vote their heart. And if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believed Tara Reid.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's not voting for himself because he knows exactly what happened. Isn't it extraordinary? They're quite something. All right, we're going to take a quick one here. There's Lunch Bucket Joe getting fluffed on CNN, MSNBC yesterday. What's the difference? DNC TV, either way you slice it. And the socialists, the proud socialists, stop the hammering, Lawrence O'Donnell, with those hard-hitting questions and no follow-ups. And Joe thinks that the pre-taped things are live. And if you believe Tara Reid, then you should vote for him. Okay. That means don't believe the women. Don't believe Tara Reid. Don't believe the women. Everything about that, believe the women, and pound me too stuff. You know, there's such a load of hooey that these people are peddling. Amazing. We'll be right back.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away.
So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by the pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
At CDW, we get that wireless printing can leave your network vulnerable.
That's why I never take my eyes off our printers. I haven't blinked all day.
That's gotta itch.
No, it's more of a burning sensation.
Well, CDW would orchestrate a solution featuring HP LaserJet Enterprise printers to help you protect your network with reliable automated print security.
Can I blink again?
You sure can. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/HP Print Security.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/business or text the code business to 511-511. Text business to 511-511 today.
Now, the ACLU used to be an organization dedicated to civil liberties, hence their name, the American Civil Liberties Union. And they used to stand up for people's rights. If your rights were protected by the Constitution, the ACLU was there to back you. Now, we have an education secretary by the name of Betsy DeVos, and the Department of Education recently handed down new guidelines to colleges and universities who have created these leftist kind of Maoist havens where if you female accuses a male student of sexual misconduct of some kind, there is a presumption of guilt, and they are punished based on the mere accusation. They have no recourse, no form of redress. They have no opportunity to question their accuser. They have no opportunity to provide a defense, because when the left is given absolute power, that's what they create everywhere in the world. Cuba, North Korea, Soviet Union, China, college campuses. And when the left takes over here, they're already striving to take away all of our rights, one at a time and sometimes in bulk. Well, the ACLU is suing Education Secretary Betsy DeVos over new campus sexual assault rules. The rules championed by DeVos effectively bolster the rights of due process for those accused of sexual assault and sexual harassment, allowing for live hearings and cross-examinations of the accusers. It's what agency officials say was lacking during the Obama administration to protect all students under Title IX, a 1972 law that prohibits gender discrimination, including sexual assault in schools. Now, you see, the Obama administration, they're leftists, and they hate America and liberties and freedom, and they love the surveillance state, and they spied on just about everybody and got illegal warrants all over the place and abused the Espionage Act to spy on news organizations. They hacked into the computers of the Senate Intelligence Committee and spied on them and then lied about it and got caught again. And they're corrupt. They're corrupt people. And Barack Obama went to Harvard, where they don't produce a lot of good lawyers from what I can tell. And they corrupted the law on college campuses in the way that the left corrupts everything. And they took away due process. And Betsy DeVos is attempting to restore due process on college campuses, which for the most part are actually still on U.S. soil. And so the ACLU, which used to defend civil liberties, is now attacking civil liberties and trying to undermine civil liberties. They're the anti-civil liberties union is what they are. It's kind of like asocial distancing. Why do we call it social distancing when it's the most anti-social thing we've been called upon to do in our lifetimes? It's Orwellian to call it social distancing when in reality it's asocial distancing. It's the opposite of social distancing, and the ACLU is the opposite of a civil rights organization.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.